Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, happy Sunday. This is Seeds of Change, and I'm your host, Danielle St. John. Today, there's actually quite a lot to talk about since we missed last week. One thing I certainly will not be talking about is that stupid glow-in-the-dark spy balloon. So if you've come to listen to news about that, you probably should go to another show, but stay. It's going to be a good show. Elizabeth is with us.
Hello, darlings.
Hello. Happy Sunday. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I am all better. Knock the wood. I'm making borscht. I'm heating up some borscht for my friend who's popping in during the show. I said, I can mute. We will mute and give you some soup. She has soup for me. That is what
Yum.
Friends are for. Homemade chicken soup from the Italian grandma. She saves all the bones in the freezer forever.
Mm-hmm.
Roasts them. She roasts bones that she saved from chickens. And then it's a process. The soup queen, she calls me the soup queen. I don't do that kind of thing. That's too much work to get chicken soup.
Hold on. I have a heckle husky this week. So I got to quiet her down a little bit.
I still have the bad boys, but they're sleeping in their corners right now. But I think that's why people tune in to listen to us. Who else do they have running amok in their house?
Oh, man.
But yep. Nonetheless, I think that's what we need to start doing is taking care of each other, sharing, cooking, homemade food, traveling for miles to bring someone a bowl of soup. I think that'll get us where we need to be. So that's what I got going on today. You know?
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It is. It really is. And I almost like spit out whatever I was drinking, coffee. I think I'm switching up the beer in a minute. Over the bouncing ball. It literally, follow the bouncing here. We're making you sleepy.
Yeah.
Until you can turn your brains into scrambled eggs. Oh, my Lordy. I just, it's a testament to how easily distracted we are, like little, are there animals in the wild that are as stupid as we are sometimes? I can't think of one. Can you?
Maybe lemmings.
Lemmings, yes. I was thinking weasels, but those are very crafty little animals. A lemming, yes. Yes. Shout out to the lemmings who make it through the day.
Oh,
so,
right. Exactly.
I know. I missed you. How are you and what are you doing? What are you up to?
I'm doing pretty good. The Ooh. Cold has made its way through our house. And both
That's
of the
horrible.
Kids had it. Yep. I did
but
do a COVID test just because, you know, I've got all the symptoms,
did
right?
You?
And one of my neighbors who has been vaccinated probably 5 times now had a little tickle
mm-hmm.
in her throat. So she got one of those 2 packs of the COVID tests. And,
right.
of course, she's positive for COVID. And
uh-huh.
I have yet to ever have a positive COVID test. I did mine, and so it's a negative, and I guess that means that I've got a cold, you know.
Something
it's
else
ridiculous.
That will kill you. That's not from the government. I was at the point where I'd rather die at home than go to the hospital. I have too much knowledge of what they're doing and what
mm-hmm.
horrible people they are. That I would actually – somebody would have to come and drag me to the hospital, even though I couldn't breathe. I'm like whipping the windows open and I'm boiling water on the stove. And what was going to kill me was not sleeping because the minute I could not relax and go to sleep, I'm sitting up in bed with the diffusers going. And then I get this asthma kind of thing going. And then I'd stop. I'd be in this panic of not being able to breathe. There's no air in the house. And that was, I couldn't sleep. And that was going to put me in my grave. And that was where I started to sympathize with people who are wearing masks because they don't want to get sick and die. And I'm like, this is the worst thing I've had. And I've had it since Christmas. And it's come in waves of 2 and 3 weeks. And it comes rocking right back. I had to take, like every week I'm taking a day off because I literally am coughing and cannot drive when I'm coughing and peeing my pants. That's how hard I'm coughing. And I'm like, this is like being in hell. And so I'm getting a whole new respect for this whole thing, because I was never sick during this entire pandemic and medical tyranny. And you saw what was going on behind, in front of our eyes, not even behind the scenes, but what they were actually doing to our society. And I never got sick. Now I'm sick, deathly sick, or so I think, because it's like, I know I've been sick like this before. And I know there's been times where I won't see my sister for, you know, from Christmas till after Valentine's Day, because I'm always sick. And I'm like, I need to rest, and I don't want to bring them the plague, and they're never sick. And it's like, is it allergies or is it Memorex? Who knows? Is it from a bio lab now? I don't know. That's the new thing that got into the equation that added to the mind fuck of how sick are you? And so I didn't need to go get a test. I determined that based upon everything, maybe, except do I have blood clots? You know, it's like this never-ending symptoms of, you know, I caught these commercials for the long COVID. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is, they're never letting this go. It's like,
they're not.
You know, they'll have a, there'll be a ribbon and a parade. It's like, we've run out of colors. We're already using the purple for pancreatic cancer awareness month. And wasn't that for autism before? It's like, you're disrespecting your, you got to focus, guys. Create a new color. It's creativity.
I know.
But, you know, there's 64 colors in a big box of crayons. Let's go, you know, I don't know. But anyways.
Yeah.
That's what we're going for, right? And I'm like, half of this is like, could it be it is residual effects of poisoning of the air with these chemicals? I have brain fog. I can't think, and I'm tingling in my, and I'm like, I don't have none of those, you know? I mean, if I can't sleep, then I can't think. So it's like, I simply have a fucking horrible case of allergies caused by pollutants that I see being sprayed in heavy doses across the sky, knowing what those are. So I wasn't going to take a test, but I knew this is just, it's horrible. And I told my friend, I go, I'm so fucking mad at the government. And she just laughed, because I go, they're making us look at this. And I just, they can't deny that there's these monstrous lines in the sky. It's kind of billow into
people still do, though. They're like, no, they've always been there. You show me a picture from the 1980s or 1970s with chemtrails all over the sky. You show them to me, and then maybe I'll believe it.
Not even in I think they started this in, like, 2003 or 5, because it was still a hazy, not a quite blue, but not a quite. I'm like, what's the fuck's wrong with the sky? And it felt weird. But the actual trails didn't start until, I think, 2005, after they had been putting something in the air. I'm quite sure caused this apathy, the great apathy that has never left. Therefore, you could tell them anything, and it doesn't affect them. It is a deer in the headlights. They'll go on their merry way and drive off to, you know, McDonald's, because they're programmed to eat McDonald's. And that's where we are with it. Crap. And now it's the programming of, I have to talk to the doctor. Only the doctor can save me. And it's like, no, I think the doctor will put me in my grave. He'll put a mask. I can't breathe, and he'll put a mask on me, because that's the protocol. I am not, I'm not going to the doctor. I'm not doing a test. I don't need to know. It's more of a, you can actually heal yourself with good thoughts, you know? And I don't know if I told you, when I was having a really, really bad time in the middle of the night, it was terrible. I was like, I want my mommy, and I'm like stripping my clothes off, and the kid, I'm like, she's just so miserable. And she's dead. And I'm like crying for my mom. And anybody to call at 3:30 in the morning is like, it'll be calling an ambulance. I'm like, I'm not getting in an ambulance. Somebody's got to do something. Something must be done. And I could hear her say, take a shower. Everything can be, no matter what.
Yes. Steam.
Take a shower, you feel better. It just changes everything. You know, if you're freaking out, because she learned it in the program for alcoholics in the hospital. And that was her thing, was no matter what, you take a shower and everything's different. And I was like, oh, you know, I had just, and that's what I did. I got in the shower, and that saved me from going over the edge. And my friend told me, oh, you have COVID, when I told her the next day. Because thankfully, I have friends who check on me. And it's not all the time, but it's like right when they seem to know. And she like texted me, you know, where are you? And I'm like, oh my God, I almost died last night. And because I'm at work. And we work together and we're neighbors. And she goes, oh, God. She goes, you have COVID. And I'm like, well, if this, okay, good. I go, good, good. Now I know. I know what I got. Part of it is the psychological. You know, she has known so many people that have had this in the Spanish community, because that's where it got hit, was in your colored populations, because it was geoengineered to target the Chinese men, and apparently the Latins are very, you know, more people have died in that community here than anywhere, and then also the black community, and that's why they take this. You can't get them to take the masks off because they're going to funerals overnight. People are dying because of this. And
yeah,
that makes
well,
me
I saw
think,
at the grocery store yesterday, I saw a man wearing a mask and gloves, and then the woman in front of me was wearing two masks. And, you know, me and my husband are like, what? Like, we're getting pissed off at this point at these people. You know, you can only say so much.
Well, but you know what? I had one 3 days ago. I'm at the grocery store. I'm actually starting to feel better. I'm not, you know, dying and, like, you know, going into this. I literally couldn't do the show because if I talked, I started to cough. So the minute you get coughing anywhere, you're like this leper. So, and I'm like, I will not wear a mask even out of just, you know, pleasantry because I am coughing. I'm the one who's sick. Fuck it. I'm like, no, we're not going there. So I just go in and do my business and out I go. But I hum and sing everywhere. And I'm like this little glimmer. I'm like this little rainbow of lights. And my niece happens to do the same thing. It's this little, we're happy and content. So we sing and hum. Here I am walking through the grocery store. I'm humming and I'm looking at what I'm going to buy. And here's this crazy person who walked in kind of simultaneously with me, either in front or behind, I can't remember, but masked up, big jacket in the hood, and it is actual summertime in Chicago. It was right when Paxitomi Phil said, nope, climate change, the Arctic air is coming. No, it's 60 degrees in Chicago. We're buying beer. It's summertime. So I'm having so much fun, feeling good, shopping, just got paid, and here's this crazy person in a ski, you know, jack, it's like, it's not cold. Oh, my God, did your grandma dress you? It's like my mom would dress you. Here, you need a muffler, you need this. It's like, oh, my God, you get all bundled up and be like, it's nice out. But you throw everything in the bushes as soon as you get around the corner. But they dress you because they're cold, you're cold. We don't want you sick. And this is what this guy's dressed in. But he had a spray bottle, Danielle. He had a spray bottle and the gloves. And I'm thinking, is this to keep people away from you? Like, you know, like the cat. I had a laugh when you hit the spray bottle emoji, and I was like, there's people out there with spray bottles. And
yeah, I might start having to carry one so I can spray these people.
But
no.
I was a threat to him because he was, like, everywhere I was. He was even after the store. He was at the gas station, the same fucking gas station. I don't think I've ever seen this guy in my whole life. And he's everywhere. And, of course, he's got the spray bottle. And at the gas station, it's a little different, precarious, because there's always a crackhead in there. Different one, acting crazy. And you're like, oh, good Lord, I'm going to get killed because I need cheap cigarettes. This is the cheapest place to buy them. And here's this crazy man with spray bottle counting out his dollar bills. And I'm like, how ironic is this? You know, cash was, like, looked at as, like, a faux pas. Cash would kill you because we're in the pandemic. And here he is. And I'm like, and he was everywhere. It was almost like I'm being followed by this crazy alien from another world. And
yeah.
I'm humming. I'm a threat to his existence because I'm even whistling, right? And I'm just like, I'm like, you know what? I'm having my good day. And I felt bad for him. I'm like, how terrible to live in that kind of fear. And they'll never let that go. This person's never going to let this go. He's going to operate like that. I couldn't tell. Maybe it wasn't a woman. I don't know. Operate in this mode of self-imposed superhero contamination suit that they've gotten from the Walmart and a spray bottle. And
they're going to. And the sad part is they're going to die before the unvaccinated non-mask wearers because. And actually, that it's a good segment. Finish your story. But like the first video I want to play is. A Jimmy Dore about more studies that came out, not that there weren't studies before, but more studies that came out that show that masks do nothing at their best and at their worst help spread COVID.
Or get you sick, because it is known that to breathe in your own waste, and that is what the breathing process is, in fresh air, out with waste and toxins. And if you continually keep breathing the same toxins in your body, it's going to shut down your kidneys. Your filtration system is going to be overrun with toxins, and you're going to get sick.
So many, exactly.
And that is the crime. And then the psychological scarring of these people, that they are so terrified of being sick and maybe dying that they will never enjoy the simplicity of life, the ups and downs.
Sunlight on their faces.
The words of a sonnet, and you're going to go through pain. Everyone goes through pain. It's part of life. It's what makes you enjoy the joy of happiness. You know, it's the ebbs and flows and riding the waves of life. And no. Now they're cocooned in a Columbia jacket with a hood in the summertime. You know, it's like, oh no, it's sad. I've changed my whole outlook to not be so fucking judgmental, because being this is like a scary sick. Like, and I know they can't do anything for me. They will make me worse, if not kill me, and make my life miserable. But to not know, if I didn't have any knowledge of how health works, and I was like one of these little seals that need the ball on my nose and give me the fish and tell me exactly what to do, and I listen to authority and can't do anything without their nod of approval and stamp of this is what we're doing, guys.
But this is worse than that, I think, because it's not like the studies didn't exist before. You know, I can't be the only person out there that knows that it's an infection control violation to walk from one room to the other with the same mask on. And, you know, the only industry right now that is still pushing these rags are the healthcare industry. They should be embarrassed.
Depending on it is the entire corporate-run de facto government in the media. Because right now, the story today on my little radio of news was this horrible rumor that's circulating the internet. I was like, oh, what now? Is it a balloon? Are we making fun of your balloon too much? And
we're not.
No.
I'm going to take my balloon and go home. I'm not playing that game.
I know. Biden acted like, this is all. He had killed Bin Laden again. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, go back to sleep. You killed him. This is the third time you've killed him. No, that you just popped the balloon, baby. And the story is this movie that they're promoting, this terrible fallacy that they're promoting with fake obituaries and fake news stories that people are dying suddenly from the vaccine. And they had to say this is so terribly dangerous because these vaccines are safe and effective. That was the news story today. And I thought, oh, dear God, we are – Big Brother is mad. He had to step it up. There will be no more toys and no more thoughts for anyone. And even matter of fact, NPR's story yesterday, the day before, was we have to protect our children from dangerous thoughts. That's what the education system is focusing on. Seriously. And I was like – fuck me, they are just so eloquently and insidiously, like Tokyo Rose style. Look it up if you don't know what Tokyo Rose was. She's so soothed. Oh, poor G.I. Joe, are you going to lose the war? And she was just so sexy and suave in her little way. She was a DJ that got on the radio that streamed through the Pacific during World War II to try to discourage our troops. But that was propaganda from the Japanese. And this is the same type of propaganda type of brainwashing that we're getting on NPR. And it's almost, if their word salad turns into scrambled eggs and you just can't quite follow the story because it doesn't make sense to me, who can think logically and has cohesive reading comprehension skills. I don't need to be shown a link in proper pronunciation. And I can kind of grasp what you're saying. Where this generation that we're dealing with now and the one before and anyone younger, I'm sorry, but yes, Trevi Old Woman is back on the radio. Anyone younger than me can't, like, think outside the box. And now that's all this story is going to, yes, we're protecting our children from dangerous thoughts and ideas coming from, and it doesn't matter who they're coming from, but basically coming from Ron DeSantis in the, what kind of books, and they're turning this whole thing around into, we have to protect their, there will be no thinking unless we've approved it. And do
right.
you know how scary that is? Unless you
yeah.
don't know. That's why I sent you that wonderful monologue by Bill Maher about, you know, revolutions and how a revolution can change and turn ugly right before you've, you know, enjoyed the whole damn thing. It bites your ass. And that was
Well, send it to me again. I'll see if I can play it.
It's a Twitter thing. It was off of Twitter is where I got Boom. It from. So I don't know if it's on. Yeah. Well, you know, maybe I can. It should be on YouTube. I'll see if I can do that.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, let's get into this video. This is this is Jimmy Dore.
My point was, though, because you were like, why? Because this propaganda, the fucking media is so balls to the wall with this one narrative, and anybody that dare bring any logic, like you talking about OSHA rules, OSHA who? Oh, no. We've done away
yeah.
with OSHA. This is, you know, they are in lockstep with you are not allowed to see these studies. And they jailed doctors. They scrub the stories. And if they can't scrub them, they give you an alert that there's something going around on the media that you shouldn't listen to. That Died Suddenly movie. And then people who do the papers, please. And basically share obituaries, a real obituary. They're like, and these are fake obituaries, and they wouldn't even talk about theirs. So they're just, it's like, so that is why you're going to have, I hope my number is wrong, 75%, this is my made up number, of people who simply will never think that there's a way out of this other than what the next Dr. Fauci is going to say. So anyways, play
right.
the clip. That was my thought.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Hey, I'm here with Nick Cruz from the Revolutionary Blackout Network, and guess what? So they did the most definitive study ever on masks, and community masking doesn't work. So there it is. It's from Cochrane Library. Physical interventions to interrupt or reduce the spread of respiratory viruses, and it doesn't work. And what does that tell you is that when Dr. Fauci said this at the beginning of the pandemic, he was telling the truth.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really
no,
closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course. But when you...
Wow. So he was telling the truth then, as Dr. Vinnie Prasad tells us. He says, many may not know the science never changed. Fauci told the truth the first time on 60 Minutes. He lied the second time about cloth masks. Because Trump didn't do it, academics had to. So they were just doing the exact, whatever Trump said, they did the opposite. So Trump said he didn't like masks, everybody had to wear masks. Because Trump didn't do it, academics had to and couldn't read the literature. Because, by the way, all the literature was already there before. It was always negative, as Cochrane confirmed. So the literature was always there. And so this Cochrane, they took all the biggest studies and they, however the scientists, smarty pants people do it, they put it all together and they figured there's no studies that show masks that have little to no effect on the spread, community spread of viruses like this. Here's the big summary findings. With 276,000 participants in random controlled trials or cluster random controlled trials, masking does nothing. No reduction in influenza-like or COVID-like illnesses, and no reduction in confirmed flu or COVID. That's stone cold negative. See those effect sizes and confidence intervals. I don't know what that means, but if you're a scientist, you probably do. And then here's the thing, and it shows you right here. I'll show you in a second. But this shows you there's no, it doesn't do anything. So this is the relative effect, 0.84 to 1.09, basically nothing. So this is why Fauci said what he said initially on 60 Minutes. He wasn't lying. The best evidence showed no benefit. That was before we saw a concerted campaign to promote cloth masking, a bizarre way to treat anxiety. People routinely wore cloth masks outside, something that was less 21st century and more third century, akin to animal sacrifice and dancing to make the rain come. That's what wearing a mask outside is. He's comparing it to doing a rain dance. That's how much science is behind wearing a mask outside. We never had good data that mask mandates help or that mask advice, a softer policy, improves outcomes. Yet it was widely pushed, most likely to distract from true federal failures. After vaccination, not only do we not have evidence, but it is irrational to mask. At best, you marginally delay the inevitable, and unlike pre-vax, there's no milestone you're waiting for. This is what I was saying since I had Dr. Robert Malone on my show in the summer of 2021, and when I started to see that this was, that they were lying, and that mandating stuff like this was wrong, and that there's actually deleterious effects. So when you wear a mask, the main way you pass that virus to yourself is through your fingers. And so you're always fidgeting with your mask. There's unintended consequences. And so when you touch your mask, you're actually putting the bacteria and the virus and shit on your mask that you're now breathing in, because all that stuff is on your fingertips and then you're putting it on your mask. And that's the unintended. So in a laboratory, in a perfect setting with a perfect fitting, and that's one thing. But in the community, the way people actually wear masks, here it is. And it can be worse for you. It can be worse for you because you're touching your mask all the time and you're getting virus and bacteria, or as Dr. Fauci said on that video, schmutz. And there's unintended consequences. And that there are studies that show that masks have a negative effect and increase bad things. There are studies out there, credible, and there's a theory about it that has a name. I forget what the name. Is it the Folsom theory? I'll think of it. Hang on. But here's also one more thing that is devastating. Wearing a medical/surgical mask probably makes little or no difference compared to not wearing a mask for this outcome. So this is according to Dr. Vinay Prasad. Let me be clear. The science did not change. Public health experts started lying. So when I brought on Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, who authored the Great Barrington Declaration, which had the right approach to dealing with the COVID pandemic, and he was smeared by Dr. Fauci and tried to be discredited. When he came on our show, he told us that Fauci was telling the truth about masks the first time. And then ever since then, he was lying. So I knew that when he came on our show. And Dr. Vinay says, who should we be angry with? Obviously, there is a class of Twitter experts that doesn't understand how to read evidence. Some of them have been promoted to be deans for public health schools. So much for public health. But the real failure is the NIAID and the CDC. It is Tony Fauci. Obviously, unlike the types of studies that the CDC likes, hairdresser anecdotes, which is what they were basing their mask mandates on, randomized trials are the best way to separate an intervention from the habits of someone who embraces them. So what are they? Randomized trials. Fauci controlled the NIAID budget. He could have run 10 random controlled trials of masking, different masks, different ages, different settings. He chose to run zero. Why is that, you think? Is it because he already knew what the outcomes of those trials would have been? And that's why he ran zero when he should have? Instead, he went on TV 1,000 times and lied about the effectiveness of cloth masks. The first time on 60 Minutes, he told the truth, and the rest were lies. And now, as this doctor says, Dr. McCune, he says, in any sane world, this would be the end of mask discussion. As a community intervention, there is no evidence to suggest they work. I have to break it to you, we don't live in a sane world. We live in a world run by a handful of billionaires that own the media and every legislator, and then they push a narrative, and that's the crazy upside-down pretend world of science we live in. That's the world we actually live in. We don't live in an objective reality. We don't live in an objective science. We live in whatever the billionaire who owns the media machine wants us to think. That's why you thought ivermectin was a crazy horse medicine instead of a WHO list of essential medicines that has saved billions of lives and is super cheap, pennies. That's why you thought that, because the billionaires who wanted you to take the vaccine didn't want you to think ivermectin was a human medicine. That's why. Because on the chance it could treat COVID, they had to totally lie to you to make you think you were mental if you wanted to take that. There are tremendous amounts of people who call others anti-vaxxers, despite the fact that they still wear masks after receiving 4 or 5 vaccination doses. Apparently, they don't actually think their 5 doses will protect them, but a facial decoration will. Do you get what he's saying? He's saying there are people with taking 5 vaccines still wearing masks. Do you not believe in the vaccine? Because I'm vaccinated against polio, measles, all that stuff. I don't worry about catching it anymore. That's why I don't wear a mask, to shield myself. When I get in an elevator, I don't worry if the other guy's been vaccinated for polio. I want to show one more thing, and then we'll bring in our guest, Nick. I want to show, this is from March of 2020. So this is before they all started lying about masks. This is CNN saying the same thing Fauci was saying. You ready?
Over coronavirus climbs in America. Top U.S. health officials have a stern word of caution. Preparedness is appropriate. Panic is not.
There are things that actually can harm you and your community, and going out and hoarding masks is one of those things.
Since the outbreak began, millions of people around the world have donned surgical masks, hoping to fend off the virus. Chinese President Xi Jinping was seen wearing one in public. But top health officials and experts say masks often don't provide adequate protection against something like coronavirus.
But that's CNN in March of 2020 saying even though you see people wearing masks, the experts say they don't provide protection from something like the coronavirus, which is similar to a flu virus. Similar, not the same.
So the typical mistake is what? I put this on, and it may or may not fit. And what am I doing wrong here?
So right now you're wearing a mask that's supposed to be fit tested, that's supposed to be fully sealed. At this point, it's not. So you'll see that you can actually, there's space where your nose is that particles could actually potentially get underneath the mask.
Public health experts say many people who wear masks don't have them properly fitted. That means constant adjustments. And
so this is the difference between testing a mask in a laboratory and testing a mask in real world, in community masking. They're not perfectly fit. People don't wear them right. They're constantly moving and touching their masks, which makes it worse because all the dirt and bacteria and virusy stuff is on your fingers. And then you put it on your mask, it stays there, and then you breathe it in. And by the way, even the CDC says if a mask gets a little wet, you got to get rid of it immediately. But of course, people don't. They keep breathing through them all day long, and they get wet with their breath, and they just leave them on all day. So watch what they say here. They say exactly what Fauci also said, that you can get stuff on your fingers and then you touch your mask and an unintended consequence. And they're going to say the same thing. Let's listen.
Don't have them properly fitted. That means constant adjustments and more risk.
You're not used to wearing it. You don't know what to do. You might be touching your face more often. All of those are opportunities to actually get yourself sick.
Yeah, because the way you get yourself sick is touching your face. This is how you get yourself sick. You got it on your fingers. You touch your face. So you're going to be touching your face and mask way more if you're wearing a mask. So it's probably going to increase your likelihood. That's, I'm not saying definite.
It's because our hands are our biggest transmitters of the virus.
Our hands are the biggest transmit. This is what they were saying in March of 2020. They were saying exactly what Fauci was saying, because that's what the science always said. And then they flipped it. And everybody is now has to theorize why. Everybody has to speculate as to why they started lying. I wonder why. But you see, even CNN was saying the truth in March 2020.
Get yourself sick.
That's because our hands are our biggest transmitters of the virus. The more you touch your face, the greater your odds of getting sick. Major retailers say there's been a run on masks at stores, and if they're cleared off the shelves, there's a dangerous potential ripple effect.
If we actually utilize masks inappropriately in the community and in the general public, they won't be available for healthcare workers who actually need them to respond.
Public health experts say there are myths about masks. One is that one single mask can be used indefinitely.
These are supposed to be single-use masks, but some people might wear them for days, in which case you might get particle, bacteria might grow inside the mask.
So what should average healthy people be buying? Soap and household cleaning supplies, experts say, and make sure you stock up on whatever medications you're already on. As far as the best habits to fend off coronavirus, health officials say there are some very simple but important steps.
Wash your hands as frequently as you can. If you cough, cough in your elbow and not on your hands. And try to stay away from crowded places where there are a lot of people who are coughing and sneezing.
What if you have to travel on a plane or another tight, crowded space? Should you wear a surgical mask then? Experts say that's a judgment call, but you have to make sure it fits you perfectly.
Perfectly.
That you know how to use it, and just use it one time. Brian Todd, CNN, Washington.
Now, I don't think you should wear the same mask if you're on a five-hour flight for 5 hours. You should probably change that mask a couple times. Anyway, let me bring in Nick Cruz from the Revolutionary Blackout Network. What's your so now the definitive studies have been done. There has never been any science that says community masking stops the spread of those types of viruses. That's now the science. It was always the science. They then flipped it for no reason, but here for a reason, I don't know why, but here is Nick.
Yeah, COVID-19 has been such an incredible case study on how our ruling class can lie, propagandize, and attack anyone who is telling the truth about this stuff, aka anyone who reports on the study. The same people who claim they are pro-science, they look at these studies and they don't give it no mind. I don't know if you've seen these people. There are people on Twitter to this day that tweet stuff like, raise your hand if you proudly wear a mask every single day. There are people on Twitter. Yeah, you see, their identity is I wear a mask. And they attack people who don't wear a mask, despite these studies showing that masks do not work. I'm a very scientifically minded person, Jimmy. Like, I want to see what works and what does not work. I remember when this pandemic first started, just like you and just like all of us, we was all scared, and I had the mask on at first. And then I saw people wear masks get sick around me. I'm like, okay, this seems like it's not working. Then you had the first original studies that come out that show that masks doesn't work. So I ditched the mask because I'm a very scientifically minded person. But I think you call them COVIDians, like these people who – love the COVID culture war. You can't tell them nothing. You can show them the mask study There are people to this day and people I know in real life that still believe that vaccines stop the spread of the virus. And I explain this stuff to people. I show studies that don't do it, and they still refuse to accept it. So these people that start out defense.
These COVIDians, Nick, they'll be critical and demonize anybody except Big Pharma,
yes,
the FDA, the CDC, Fauci, but anybody else, any other doctor who has a different opinion, they demonize them as if they're all grifters, as if the biggest grift wasn't Big Pharma. Somehow Big Pharma money is pure, which has infected every part of our culture, but somebody else, another doctor's funding is suspect. That's the thing that these COVID, they are mental cases.
And their trust of the government that lied to us many times before. The reason why I love your coverage and the reason why I'm open to questioning COVID narrative, because I remember how the FDA lied to people about diet when they used to tell people that carbs is good for you and fats is bad for you. And this is something as a martial artist, I learned, like, they completely lied to us about that. They lied to people about cigarettes in the 70s.
That's right.
So if our government and scientists wanted to lie for that for money, why wouldn't they do it today? So that's been my mindset when I saw that Big Pharma making $1,000 per second on the vaccine. when I see you show these people shifting their narrative, obviously something is up. But there are a lot of the COVIDians who they don't care about science. They more worship the altar of Big Pharma. And I can't really tell you why, Jimmy. I think they maybe had this pathology where they literally believe that Big Pharma is the reason why people are living longer. So they, maybe they like have this reverence towards authority in the medical community. Could they see us making advancements? It makes no sense, but we have so many evidence of the government just blatantly lying for profit. And there's no one they are more willing to lie to than Big Pharma, one of the biggest funders of the ruling class.
So now I want to show you what they say about N95 masks. It says four studies were in healthcare workers, and one small study was in the community. Compared with wearing medical or surgical masks, wearing N95 respirators probably makes little to no difference in how many people have confirmed flu and may make little to no difference in how many people catch a flu-like illness. Unwanted effects were not well reported. Discomfort was mentioned. So that's also, she didn't come back to me, so that was also in the study. So that was also said in the study. I find that very interesting. And let's just remember, if you don't think Fauci is a pathological liar, you can put Nick back. I'll show you right now.
That the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain of function research in the Wuhan Institute.
Do they fund?
So you heard him, right? They do not fund it. Gain-of-function research in the Wuhan. The NIH does not. He said that to Congress, which if that's a lie, that's a felony. Turns out it's a lie. But, of course, he's never going to be prosecuted because Fauci was lying at the behest of the people who own those politicians. So one of those politicians who gets his money from Big Pharma is not going to go launch an investigation criminally against Fauci. That's why he can lie to Congress, which is what he did. The NIH, major shift, it admits they did fund that. And let's remember how he tried to scare people who criticized him. Let's remember.
There, so it's easy to criticize, but they're really criticizing science because I represent science. That's dangerous. To me, that...
You can't, if you criticize him, you're criticizing science, even when he's lying. Isn't that crazy? That's crazy. That's what a maniac, megalomaniac says.
Yep.
And that's what he is. Why do you think he was allowed to keep that job for, I don't know, 45 years or whatever it was? It's because he's doing the bidding of the friggin' guys who own the government, the Big Pharma people. That's why he was kept that job through 15 administrations. That's why Trump wasn't allowed to fire him. Because people more powerful than him, the people really pulling the strings in this country, the billionaire class with all the money, they wanted him there. People forget he was the bad guy in that movie, The Dallas Buyers Club, with Matthew McConaughey. Why did they have to have a Dallas Buyers Club? Because he wouldn't let them use safe medicines to treat AIDS. He would only allow them to use the medicines that would make Big Pharma a lot of money that didn't work. That's why he was the bad guy in the Dallas Buyers Club. And why isn't there no one on TV reminding people of that? Where's Matthew McConaughey to remind people of that? Where's the director of that movie, the writer of that screenplay? Where are they?
Yep.
And what did the study actually recommend? So this study that just debunked all this, what did they actually recommend? Well, they said there is a need for large, well-designed, random control trials addressing the effectiveness of many of these interventions in multiple settings and populations, as well as the impact of adherence on effectiveness, especially in the most at risk. And so now who does that sound like? That's Dr. Vinay Prasad saying, who does that sound like? It sounds like him, Dr. Vinay Prasad, because since COVID started, he's been screaming about where are the random controlled trials. He's been saying, where are they? Fauci should be conducting them, and they refuse to. And now this paper, the definitive study on masks, now says they should be doing this, and they're still not doing it. Why do you think they're not doing it? So, and of course, I have to tell you that the CDC still recommends masking in areas with high rates of transmission, along with indoor masking in areas with medium rates of transmission. So that's all the stuff I said to you now isn't true because the CDC says that. So I'm just telling you that stuff as information because I can't go against the CDC on YouTube. That would be misinforming you. And I don't want to misinform you, so I'll tell you what the big pharma-funded CDC makes YouTube say, because that's what's real. And if I told you the opposite, I would be misinforming you. This is YouTube telling you I have to tell you this, or else I would be misinforming you. Wow. Nick, do you have anything else you'd like to say about this?
This is a great report, and this is why you got to always question what government officials say. And this is what made the government, what they do, especially around COVID, so nefarious, because I know people in my real life, and I'm sure you guys do as well, they're not really that political. They just trust what they see the medical guy on TV says.
That's right.
They see a guy named Dr. Fauci. They see him say one thing. They don't know all the receipts like you and me may know, and they just follow his advice, even though he gives people bad advice. And they're just the normies that follow whatever the government says. That's why shows like these, this is why I do a Revolutionary Blackout. We need to debunk what the ruling class is saying people can have a better way to live their life. And they have a monopoly on information, and through independent media like Jimmy Dore Show and my own, that we can continue to inform and call out these people. That's why I have an unbelievable amount of disgust. The people who make their careers, the COVIDians, the people who spend their time defending people like Dr. Fauci and the big pharma that spread lies to people that harm their lives. So keep up the great work on this stuff, Jimmy. And this is why everything the government says, I assume is lying until proven otherwise.
That's exactly right.
That's why I do. And for the most part, and I know you do this as well, Jimmy, it works out well for us. There's a study. I don't know if you saw this study. I got to be careful because I want to make sure I quote the numbers right. So I'll be vague. There was a study I saw recently that showed that the amount of American adults that are vaccine hesitant is at an all-time high.
So I saw the number at 35% now. And that's because of all the misinformation that has been communicated to them about around COVID, not just the vaccines, but about COVID also. So now they don't trust anybody anymore. And now they're not getting their little kids vaccinated anymore like they're used to prior to COVID. It actually had the opposite effect. It made people more vaccine hesitant. Congratulations. It wasn't people like Jimmy Dore. It wasn't people like Nick Cruz. It was people like everybody at MSNBC, CNN, The New York Times, The Washington Post, The Intercept, wherever, every other corporate news outlet. Those were the people who are actually making people vaccine hesitant. Fauci is the people making people vaccine hesitant. Big Pharma, the FDA, the liars at the CDC, and they are liars. And the liars at the NIH, and they are liars. And Fauci at the NIAID is the biggest pathological liar I've ever seen in government. And that's a bigger liar than Trump.
Yeah. That study is actually good news because it shows that these lies have consequences. And when people are exposed to a lie, it like a domino effect where they start questioning other things. I don't know if you know this as well, but the COVIDians, the people who push Russiagate, the people who advocated voting for Joe Biden is one circle. It's the same people, because these are the people who have not gone over that leak that the establishment lies to you. If we can expose that establishment lies to us via COVID on any random thing, that make it more or less, it make it less likely that they would believe in something like Russiagate. It'll make it less likely for them to believe that Joe Biden said what he's going to do on the campaign trail. So I think these things have a domino effect, and that's why I think it's extremely important to call this stuff out. So it's good to see what you're doing. It's good to see that the lie about the masking is being exposed.
And the vaccine, by the way, this I want to tell you one more thing about the vaccine. So when they would say people are dying who are unvaccinated versus vaccinated, so if you got your vaccine and then you got COVID the next day and died the next day, they would call you unvaccinated. If you got your COVID vaccine and then you got COVID 2 weeks later and then died 3 weeks later, they would call you unvaccinated.
No way.
So you weren't fully vaccinated unless you had both shots and it was 4 weeks after your second shot. Then you were fully vaccinated. So that's how they also skewed the numbers. They've been lying to us, and such an enormous lever. It's like a level. It's like our brains can't even comprehend the lying that they've been doing. They never even tested to see if the vaccine stopped the transmission of the virus. And then they mandated it for people and you couldn't work. Or you couldn't travel, or you couldn't go to a rest. You couldn't do anything based on nothing. And I knew that was not the case. I knew that the places, the countries that had the highest vaccination rates had also had the highest rates of COVID. And I was pointing that out on my show starting in 2021. And people immediately started calling me anti-vax, saying whatever I was saying was just for money. As if the money isn't in fucking going along with Pfizer. That's where the money is. Why do you think you guys think all the wrong shit? Anyway, but I do have to tell you that the vaccine is safe and effective, and it will slow the transmission and contraction of the virus, and it'll keep you from getting seriously ill, hospitalized, or dead. And I have to tell you that because YouTube tells me to tell you that, because if I don't tell you that, I'm misinforming you. And I don't want to misinform you. And so that's why I tell you what YouTube tells me to tell you. And I'm pretty sure they got it straight from Bill Gates' asshole. Hey, we're doing live stand-up comedy in Los Angeles, Tempe, Arizona, Palm Springs, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Nashville, Northampton, Massachusetts, and a lot more places. Go to jimmydore.com for a link for tickets and become a premium member while you're there. You get access to all of our stuff. See you then.
Okay, Jimmy for the win.
yeah. This episode of Seeds of Change is brought to you by Pfizer, giving you good health since 1933, right next door to Auschwitz. Yeah.
And I have to tell, I love how he says that. And I have to tell you that the vaccines are safe and effective. And, you know, it's kind of mind-blowing that he has to say it, but he does. And so I'm glad he's found a way around it.
The woke generation that they can't even catch on to tongue-in-cheek innuendo. The you have to hit them over the head. But yes, this is not what I mean. And it's just, it's such a farce. It is such a farce. I am the picture of science, super freak. It's, you know, it's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's been such a long trek of lies. I mean, 3 years of nonstop trauma-based mind control that even I cannot remember. There was so much to talk about a week ago or I know I bailed on you a couple times because this just kept coming back.
Oh, you were sick. It's okay.
Right, but anyways, there was so much going on that I don't even remember what the fuck happened, to tell you the truth, because it's like nonstop bullshit, and you almost can't think anymore. And you go back to the first days of them lying to us about this shit, you lose track of the fact that they didn't really want us to panic, because we did panic. We were just like, you know, just ripe for the picking because as I'm listening to Jimmy talk about it, his buddy, his sidekick there, was talking about the doctors on TV, and I thought, oh, for fuck's sake, because everyone lives in a disengaged reality situation where they just watch TV, and that's the reality. And if you, and I don't have it anymore, and I don't miss it, I really don't, but when I did have it, and I would pop it on to 257, and I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, is this what, no wonder you people are nuts, because this is just crap. In the hot shows. The hot shows have changed so much. And all the hot shows were medical shows. And it was like, you guys are such fucking pussies. It's all trauma, victims, and the more garments, the better. And this is before the pandemic. They had conditioned everyone to live this way. And that was how easily they captured us. And I don't think that they realized, I think we scared them a bit, and how well we performed for them. And they were like, oh, dear God, we're not going to have masks for our healthcare workers that we're going to put on a pedestal and are freaking out over this.
Yeah,
No, the public doesn't need masks. That's why it went back and forth, because we were just like, you know, the war of the world, you know. And they had to pull it back. And I
Well, here's another
now,
thing, too. Go ahead. Okay, so here's another thing, too. So I've been watching these, I watch Call the Midwife, and Mom is with us, so I'm going to let her on in a minute to do her good news report.
I was wondering about her.
Yeah, Call the Midwife, right? So in 2021, for the first time, this is a show in the 60s, right? They started wearing masks in homes to do deliveries. The next year... The masks were gone from the show. What's that?
Mm-hmm. Did they just put that on for the sake of they were doing that with all the TV shows? Or no?
Yeah. This is a TV show about the 1960s. You know what I mean? It's like, they were gone again the next year.
Interesting. Because doctors didn't wash their hands and they walked around smoking and stuff. And those simple little things kept bacteria, you know, jumping from patient to patient, and you were safer. Yes. Okay.
So here's the other one. So in my sick bed, you know, I like to watch bad TV. I used to be a huge fan of Sex and the City. That was back before I woke up, you know.
I still do.
I have all of them on DVD.
Oh, that's my DVD for me. I love it.
Mm-hmm. So they had the reboot, right, of Sex and the City. It's called And Just Like That. This is a spoiler alert, so if you haven't seen it, but I'm sure if you were going to, you probably already have. On the very first episode, and, you know, they talk a lot about COVID. It's like, oh, are we allowed to hug again? Right, I'm at a restaurant with... you know, the girls, and somebody comes up that, you know, I don't know, am I supposed to elbow bump? Can we hug? Oh, yeah, we can hug. Throughout the season, they do say that they were vaccinated, that Carrie was vaccinated. But in the very first episode, Mr. Big dies of a heart attack.
Oh, yes, on a Peloton bike. Yes.
Yeah.
My sister worked for that company. I was like, what were you guys thinking? You guys just cut your throats. And now the company's gone. She has no job. Yes.
But he dies. He gets vaccinated, and then he dies suddenly. And it's like when he's about to get in the shower,
talk about that.
Yeah.
In the news, they didn't talk about it. It was just the fact that he had a heart attack riding his exercise bike. Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Continue.
And it was afterwards, by the way. He was getting in a hot shower. You know how they say bending over in a shower can cause heart attack?
Yeah.
So he bends over in the shower, and there's a heart attack.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, my
God. Mom is with us, and we've got another caller. I think this is John. Let's see.
Can I just interject with?
Yeah,
I
John,
think
yeah.
Hey, welcome. They had brainwashed us so well that the population was so afraid. They had to condition us with these shows of how it's okay to get back into society, to do this, to do that. And now we're in that land of how do you get, they don't know how to get people out of this if they wanted to. they've traumatized them so much. So who do we have with us?
John and Mom. Joined.
Awesome. John, Carla, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Oh, all right.
Thank you.
What have you guys been up to? I miss you.
Go ahead, John.
Well, I've just
been
mostly working. The schedule's been kind of all over the place lately, so. But mostly it's a lot of working. I've been listening to audiobooks lately.
That's good.
I do. I like to do a lot of that.
It's very therapeutic. Oh. I'm so glad you made it to hang out with us. I felt really bad. I was hoping you could have pulled the slack up a little bit because I couldn't do the show, and I felt bad that we had to let our viewers down on our amazing.
Yeah, I tried to come in last week, but there wasn't a show, so.
Yeah, I know.
It was a good show last week, but it wasn't our show, so.
Oh,
yeah. Danielle was on the show. Did you get a clip from that, by the way? I was too tired to even listen to that show, whatever night that was, that you went on someone else's show and talked about
Proof.
Hospitals.
Well, we talked about it was Proof, the Proof Negative show. He's like the main kahuna around here. And he was in the hospital, so he's doing better now. But it was an honor to fill in while he was gone, and I'm glad that I at least got one show in this week.
That is so cool. I thought you were a guest. You were a host.
I was the host.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm so proud of you.
All right. Well, it is 4:00. What do you say we get into some good news?
I think it's a wonderful idea, Carla. You got us hooked up with some good news.
I do. I have some great news. And it actually was along the lines of the Jimmy Dore spot about how this propaganda occurs, to your point, Elizabeth. You said they kept us in a mass formation psychosis for, we just passed the 3-year mark. I wonder if anyone in this audience celebrated that.
No, 3 years is in is like the weekend after Ava's birthday, which is March 9th.
For some reason, I thought it was in January that we started all this craziness. Okay, so I could be wrong.
I thought it was in February,
that's when
actually.
The first cases started being reported. That's when they started to scare the crap out of us. But yes. I suppose you're right, Danielle. The lockdowns did happen later. So what I wanted to talk about a little bit, in which I tend to focus on how this propaganda occurs, and I believe that we had some really great information about that pop-up, and I'm looking for it. I know that I put the other twitchy article here, and it was an article from, it was a thread from Matt Taibbi. He talks about how that happened, the Twitter Files number 15. Move over, Jason Blair, Twitter Files exposed next great media fraud. And what they did was, I think we need to just call out this bullshit as it is. So, all the way back to Russiagate. Apparently there was a, what they have called circular reporting. Circular reporting means somebody reports it and all of the media report the same thing. And it come to find out all of the sources is one source. And it was Hamilton 68. Hamilton 68 is how all of the Russian bot stuff started happening. They've also used the same sort of process each time. We find that when something blows up, it always comes from one place. And it turns out, wait, pop quiz, guess where it comes from? Pop quiz, where do you think the propaganda pieces start? Just ask.
Well, I'm going to say that the CIA or FBI.
Boom.
I'm a CIA.
Yeah, it's actually the FBI, which is the CIA. We all know it. They're infiltrated. They're all smushed together. But even Twitter back then says, I think we just need to call this out for the bullshit that it is. It says, it's so weird and self-selecting. This is Yoel Roth back in the day. And they're so unwilling to be transparent and defend their selection. He says, I think we just need to call it out for the bullshit that it is. Okay, so back in the day when all of this stuff, quote unquote, blew up with the Russia hoax, and the FBI, and who sits on Hamilton 68? They all call themselves ex-FBI agents. And so in the Taibbi files, Twitter files number 15, it says, falsely accuses a bunch of legitimate right-leaning accounts of being Russian bots. I would have been one of them. Danielle would have been one of them. Virtually any conclusion drawn from it will take conversations in conservative circles on Twitter and accuse them of being Russians. Do you remember when all that was happening, Danielle, when you made that cute little video?
Yes, I was a legit Russian bot then.
I was a legit Russian bot. So as it turns out, anyone that disagreed with the narrative, we were censored. And it all came from this dashboard called Hamilton 68. And it's a digital dashboard that claimed to track Russian influence and was the source of hundreds, if not thousands, of mainstream media, print, and TV news. And so when the senators would go back and say, we have information that these accounts are Russian bots, then that's how we would get censored because they would pressure Twitter. And Twitter's like, no, it's not true. But they still did it anyway. So here we go, I've covered some of this already before, but I want to get to who it is. This is a guy named Clint Watts. The dashboard was headed by former FBI counterintelligence official and current MSNBC contributor. So that's another thing that happens. If once they become quote-unquote ex-FBI, then they go to the media. And they get on the media as quote-unquote experts. How many times have we heard that word?
Mm-hmm.
Clint Watts,
Operation Mockingbird.
And funded by a neoliberal think tank, the Alliance for Securing Democracy. You'll hear a little bit about ASD, about ASD today. So ASD uses this Hamilton 68. ASD puts out the information to 10 media outlets, and then these 10 media outlets say, look how this is blowing up, and then they blow it up even bigger. Okay, so that's how they do it. Can you hear me okay today, Elizabeth? Danielle, can you hear me okay?
I'm sorry, I stepped away for 1 second. What'd you say?
Well, both of you. I just want to make sure that my audio is okay.
I've been listening.
Okay, is it okay, John?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Yeah, it's slightly muffled, but you're okay.
It's so-so. If you could adjust it, that'd be great, but if not, we can hear you.
Well,
we
got
to get you the good microphone.
Yeah.
We need to get you one like yours, Danielle. I know. So the ASD advisory board has a bunch of freaking spooks on it. Includes neoconservatives. Listen to this. Okay, so they call themselves the last bastion protecting us against MAGA, right? So the board includes a bunch of people called Bill Kristol, Michael McFaul, I know, ex-Hillary from John Podesta sits on the board of ASD. Did you guys know that?
I just threw up a little in my mouth.
Me too. Former heads or deputy heads of the CIA, NSA, and the Department of Homeland Security. And remember what they call themselves? Alliance for Securing Democracy. So they take this information. They put this sort of a bow tie on it and say, we're quote unquote experts, and so you must believe us. They blow it up in the media with this circular reporting, and they manage to silence everyone or attempt to silence everyone that doesn't agree with them. So let's see what they did with it. So news outlets for years cited Watts and Hamilton 68 when claiming Russian bots were amplifying an endless parade of social media causes against, watch this, pay attention to what they were upset about and what got censored. Airstrikes in Syria and in support of Fox host Laura Ingraham campaigns of both Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. Interesting. Hamilton 68 was the source for stories claiming Russian bots pushed terms like deep state or hashtags like fire McMaster, Schumer shutdown, walk away, the walk away movement, released a memo, and Alabama Senate race and the Parkland shooting, among many others. Okay, so what do those have in common? You guys want, can you want to take a shot? What those hashtags had in common?
You know, that's a wide variety. I don't know. I'd kind of just be guessing.
They're right leaning.
Yeah, that's one.
They're right leaning for sure. Whatever, it became a lot less about let's protect the country and more about these are things we don't like. Okay, and yes, they're all right leaning, but they branched it out and tried to take down a Senate candidate in Alabama. So this is where it went off the rails. Walk away in particular really, really bothers me because that was just about as grassroots and organic as it came.
So I heard that was racist.
Organic or grassroots or walk away. Probably all of the above. Okay. So Brandon Straka was a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. All Democrat causes, and sometime during the Hillary Clinton campaign or right after Donald Trump got elected, he started taking a look around and went, this isn't good. And he started the walk away camp. Maybe it was before the election, before Donald Trump got elected. But he's like, these people are evil. And he brought a whole bunch of folks with him. But here's what they did. As soon as anything that was against their narrative or looked like might threaten their power, they became Russian bots again. Okay? There's more to this story. The secret ingredient to Hamilton 68's analytical method, a list. Our analysis has linked 600 Twitter accounts to Russian influence activities online, was how the site put it at launch. 600 accounts. It really isn't all that much. Hamilton 68 never released a list claiming the Russians will simply shut the accounts down. All those reporters and TV personalities making claims about Russian bots never really knew what they were describing. They never gave them the information. They just whispered it, shouted it, censored anyone who disagreed with them. And so they never disclosed their methodology on their website. It says that the reason why they won't do it is because the Russians will simply shut down those accounts. Other researchers with whom I've spoken say the tweets and messages found by Hamilton 68 certainly are consistent with what they've seen from Russian-linked accounts. So more experts, okay? Rosenberger, who spent years in the Obama White House and State Department, laughs at the idea that she's a neocon plant, though it is true that their advisory board contains both liberal Russian experts like former Obama ambassador to Moscow, Mike McFaul, as well as favorite Greenwald Bettnoyer, the original neocon, Bill Kristol. So if you ask any conservative about Bill Kristol, they will make a fart noise at you because he's not a conservative. He's a neocon. Yeah. Okay. Twitter executives were in a unique position to recreate Hamilton's list, reverse engineering it from the site's request for Twitter data. concerned about the deluge of Hamilton-based news stories, they did so, and this is what they found shocked them. These accounts, they concluded, are neither strongly Russian nor strongly bots. The evidence to support the statements of the dashboard is a finger on the pulse of Russian information ops, hardly illuminating a massive influence operation. There was nothing to it ever, and say they're Russian bots. That's all they ever did. All that time, all those years, all that censorship, my voice being silenced, the President of the United States' voice being silenced, General Michael Flynn, there were thousands of us. There was I'll give you an example of one that made everybody go, what the hell? There was a memer named Carpe Donctum. And he made the funniest memes. They were hilarious. They mocked the left mercilessly. He was on the list. Okay? They took his account down 6 times until they finally permanently suspended him for I don't know if you remember, but the little racist baby videos. Do you remember that one?
The what videos?
The racist baby videos. So what they did, these people, okay, and their ilk, he made a meme, a video of two little kids running up to each other, giving each other a hug, and then the other one and showing a piece where the one little African American baby is running away from the little white kid, and they said that they clipped the on the news media, it went viral, but they clipped part of it to just show the little white baby chasing the little black baby. And they said it was a racist video. It was the cutest video you've ever seen. It was adorable. They hugged each other, and they smiled, and they ran to each other. It was so cute. And but they took this video, and because of that video, they finally permanently suspended his account because of the song that played with it. They said that he stole the song, and they warned him before, so they permanently suspended him for that. Anyway, that's the kind of stuff these people did. If I don't like you, I'm going to silence you. Okay.
Because they can't win an argument.
Yeah, that's not a way to win an argument, is it? And they didn't have to. They silenced the President of the United States. That's all you need to know, that these people will do whatever it takes to stay in power. Some Twitter execs badly wanted out of Hamilton 68 after Russians were blamed for typing the Parkland shooter hashtag. One wrote, why can't we say we've investigated, citing Hamilton 68 as being wrong, irresponsible, and biased? So all of a sudden they're like, look, this has gone too far. Okay. So the gun control nut went in, paid Hamilton 68 to say this was Russian bots, so that they could silence the people that were against them taking everyone's guns because of what happened in Parkland. Yoel Roth wanted a confrontation. My recommendation at this stage is an ultimatum: you release the list, or we do. So they have the information that it's not Russian bots. They know it's not Russian bots. And still, however, the internal concerns about taking on the politically connected alliance to securing democracy won out. They were scared. Okay. So that's Twitter files number 15. I'm excited. We're getting close to the core of the biscuit. Let's see. So no thanks. So move over, Jason Blair, meet Hamilton 68, the new king of media fraud. So I'm going to there was a really great article, and it was written by Matt Taibbi on his Substack about what they found. Hold on one second, please. I'm going to yell at my dog.
Hi, Nala.
Oh, I thought I muted myself. Okay. Well,
I just wanted to say hi.
Okay. So it's not working, but okay. She did. She's a good girl. Say hi, Nala. Okay. So the Twitter files reveal that one of the most common news sources of the Trump era was a scam, making ordinary American political conversations look like Russian spy work. Ambitious media frauds Stephen Glass and Jason Blair crippled the reputations of the New Republic and the New York Times, respectively. So here we are with the media. So let me just give a little bit of overview. Some of you are not Donald Trump fans. I totally get that. But if you were to pick a thing that you did like that he did, what would it be? Anybody want to take a shot? John, what do you think? Am I muted? No, I wasn't muted. Hello? Anybody out there?
I'm sorry. Oh, I can hear you, darling. I think you're going to laugh. My friend is here with soup
okay,
for me.
So you can mute. So
I was muted.
Okay.
Just one.
So what was the question? The question was, if you could pick out one thing that, you know, I said, I know that y'all are not Donald Trump fans, or maybe not, but if there was
right.
one thing that he did, right? If
Man,
there was one thing that he did that you
I can't pick this one.
Okay.
I can't pick this one. Well, he stood up to the mainstream media.
There you go.
That was the biggest thing. Number
yes.
one, probably. I love the energy independence. We were energy independent, meaning we were a net exporter of energy under Trump. He repealed – now, I don't know if repeal is the right word, but he threw out dozens of executive orders, so lots of deregulation.
Right.
Which, once Biden came in, like, they all came flooding back, but – you know, that was really great. I guess those would be the top three things off the top of my head. I mean, there's a lot more
One of them is my particular favorite. Yep, one of them is my particular favorite. Elizabeth, did you have something that Donald Trump did that you like?
No.
Not one thing.
Shit.
Okay, I got you. How about you, Danielle?
No, what?
Did you have anything? Or did you say well? Did you say no or well? Oops. Okay. So my pop quiz isn't going very well, but my favorite was him going after the media.
What's the question, Carla? One more time.
The question was, I know you're probably not a Donald Trump supporter, but if there was one thing that he did that you liked, if there was one main thing, what would it have been?
If I what?
Never mind, Elizabeth.
If you liked anything
okay.
that Donald Trump did.
Oh, I loved him. I think he did a fucking great job.
Oh,
You know, one thing that I would, if he would have just said, you know what, we're not doing this. We're okay after a whole month of we all didn't die. When he wanted to open up the country on Easter.
That was my least favorite thing, his COVID response. Yes, I know.
Everybody and let us get back to our lives and not have pushed the fucking speed vaccines. Those are the two things that pissed me off about him.
Yeah, but Trump.
Right there.
Trump didn't have much to do with the lockdowns because that was that was the call made by the governor. The federal government didn't have the authority over that. So blame liberal government governors for the lockdown.
Yes, he could have because that was a military grade psyop. And the minute I watched everyone saw the press conference where I believe it was Pompeo got up there when they still had the doctor with the tablecloth around her neck, and Fauci, oh, God. Or did Pompeo say, this is a live event? And Trump goes, oh, I wish we would have known. A live event means this is a military exercise. This is not the real thing. If he had just taken that and run with it. But instead, it was, you know, he gets sick, goes to the hospital, you get mononuclear, you know, I'm okay, these things work, we can get back to normal. he didn't stand up and say, this is a live event, and explain to us what a live event was, and not push that under the carpet. That would have been wonderful.
I agree, Elizabeth. But Operation Warp Speed was my least favorite thing, too. But I loved that he, because I looked at what he did, like, in law, in document, and I read the documents when I was trying to decide if I, you know, liked him, didn't like him, was neutral toward him, and I ended up, I did not like him at the beginning. I was still, like, not liberal anymore, but enough that I thought maybe I didn't like him very much, and the media did a great job of splicing his speeches to make him sound like a really racist asshole. But then I read in document what he did, and what he passed in law for missing and murdered indigenous women.
But that was what I loved about him. Was that he was like,
well, I'm sorry, Lily. One person at a time, though, you guys. Go ahead, Lily.
No, no, it's okay. But you know what he did in law for missing and murdered indigenous women was incredible. The FBI is the only, like, lawmaking, or not lawmaking, but like law enforcing group that has authority and jurisdiction over tribal land. And so they are really good at just ignoring when people go missing on reservations and on tribal land. And so Donald Trump actually passed legislation that he wrote in law that the FBI may not do that, and he made an entire new branch. And I'm not a fan of the FBI, but he made an entire new branch that had to actually investigate these murders and missing persons cases. And that has been incredible, and we've been finding a lot of people that have been missing, and it's super sad, but also at least provides some closure for the family and allows us to bring our people home. And then he passed really phenomenal bills to clean up the ocean. Like, not like fake EPA ocean stuff, but to actually attempt to clean the ocean and attempt to assist the ocean in healing from the radiation from Fukushima. And so those kind of things that he did are what swayed me toward, like, I don't vote, but towards, like, being on his side. And if I did vote, I would vote for him.
Cool. So I love all of those things. And you're right, Elizabeth, my least favorite thing with COVID response. And John is also correct. There was a lot of politics involved in it. But my favorite thing that he did was show the media, show the American people who the media really were, which was the enemy of the people. That they were Operation Mockingbird, that they were totally a subsidiary of large corporations and of the letter agencies. And to this day, the piece of good news that I wanted to point out today was that trust in media is down to 26% in 46 countries. Not just the United States, but all over the world. They have finally seen what kind of a propaganda organ, and keep in mind, they don't trust our media here in the United States, but they started taking a look at their own medias in their own countries. No one's listening anymore, which is really great news. And that means they're getting their media from other sources, all those sources that have been howling into the wind for how many decades? Who knows? People are paying attention, like Lily. They're looking up, they're doing their own research. They're you know, looking stuff up instead of listening to the bullshit that's coming out of the mouths of the people on the stage, as it were. It's great stuff. I did want to cover a little bit of COVID stuff today, but first, before we do that, speaking of media bullshit, apparently, people are starting to dig into Ukraine and the bio labs, which I'm really excited about. So there's an account I've been following since about the time I started, about 2017, when I started going down rabbit holes with Danielle and Pizzagate. And there was an account called Clandestine. He's changed his handle to War Clandestine for right now. What he says, now that I have everyone's attention, allow me to address why U.S. establishment politicians are sending tanks, jets, weapons, equipment, and $100 plus billion dollars to Ukraine. It has nothing to do with Ukrainian citizens and everything to do with the, oh, here's one of those buzzwords, deep state assets and secrets in Ukraine. Let's go back to when and where it all began. Flashback to 2005. Here's a little history lesson for you. Then Senator Obama and Senator Lugar visited former Soviet biological and chemical facilities in Ukraine and established the U.S. deep state roots in Ukraine to, quote, counter bioweapons, end quote, according to an article in the Washington Post. U.S. aid to Ukraine is countering bioweapons, and that's from the Washington Post. It's behind a paywall, so I cannot get the article. But, of course, they are parroting what the letter agencies told them to visit to Ukraine by then-Senator Obama and Senator Lugar nearly 20 years ago. Keep going. When speaking of the labs in 2005, here is how they were described by the Washington Post. So he pulled out some quotes from the article since it's behind a paywall. The labs were part of a Cold War network of anti-plague stations that supplied highly lethal pathogens to Soviet bioweapons factories, end quote. So when Russia does anti-plague research, it's bioweapons. That's from Clandestine commenting on it. But when the U.S. does defensive gain-of-function directed evolution research, it's not bioweapons. In 2005, Washington Post admits that anti-plague research results in the production of highly lethal pathogens, a.k.a. bioweapons. It seems they changed their tune in 2022. And this is a recent article in the Washington Post. It's dated March 11th, 2022, how the right embraced Russian disinformation about U.S. bioweapons labs in Ukraine. So the U.S., led by Obama, passed the Nunn-Lugar Cooperative Threat Reduction Act of 2005. The U.S. took over former Soviet labs and supposedly to destroy stockpiles of nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons in Ukraine. They didn't. They took them over and have been effing around in Ukraine all this time. Obama opened the floodgates for the deep state, created biological weapons programs with the Ukrainian government, and established connections for U.S. oligarchs to build biolab companies in the lawless land of Ukraine. Companies like Biden's, what? Metabiota. That's one of the ones mentioned on the laptop. Then the situation turned sour. Under U.S. supervision, and that's also in quotes, Ukraine fell into civil war in February 2014. That's when Russia started their incursions into the Ukraine. And that's the thing that Trump keeps saying. They did it to Obama. He never took one step the whole time he was president. But as soon as Biden got into office, Russia went in and invaded Ukraine. Because, and here's the thing, Clandestine's going to make the point that the reason why Russia did it is because they're effing around right on their doorstep with these very dangerous bioweapons. In the disarray of war, State Department Clinton and the CIA took full control of Ukraine's government. Nuland facilitated a regime change. That's Victoria Nuland, in case you didn't know. Nuland, who spilled the beans on the fear of Russian forces getting their hands on the biological research in Ukraine, engineered the color revolution in Ukraine. They started a civil war, then picked their puppet to run the government, creating a deep state proxy. So all those people that were supposedly conspiracy theorists here last year turns out to be true. So they're fooling around over there, and it's bad. Okay, speaking of good news, and remember, I never want to call this good news, but more and more of those died suddenly are coming up way up into the mainstream. And of course, as Danielle points out on her Facebook posts every day, they're calling them everything but vaccine injuries, but they're not. So there is an announcer on MSNBC, Yasmin, I can't say her last name, Vosovian. She revealed to her viewers on Saturday that she's been missing for a while because she developed myocarditis and pericarditis, allegedly due to a common cold. So they're blaming everything but the vaccine, but at some point they're not going to be able to do it. She said she didn't at first didn't believe that it was her heart, but she was having chest pains. She was getting ready. You know, they thought maybe she was having minor heart attacks. She said her heart that she couldn't take deep breaths when she was laying down. She ended up in the hospital. And so, again, they're not going to be able to cover this up too much longer. Really sad news, inflamed lymph nodes, bright spots in mammograms. So women are they're making a connection between breast cancer and the vaccine. And this one is from the Daily Clout. I'm not sure about this website. It's from January 27th, but the mammograms are showing lots of odd and pretty common, and they're checking to see, you know, obviously they're checking their vaccine status as they do it. Another piece of good news, over this last couple of weeks, I haven't seen you guys for a while, but apparently Facebook and Instagram are going to restore Donald Trump's account. Falling in line with what Twitter did, because they had no right to take his account to begin with. apparently, also in England, we're finding out that the army spied on skeptics, including Peter Hitchens. They long suspected that they were under surveillance, but it was people that it happened here in this country and also, but this is the Daily Mail, which is a, but it says that they're discovering that they definitely were under surveillance just for being COVID skeptics and vaccine skeptics. So more of this is coming up every single day. And it, like I said, I think the good news is that eventually they're not going to be able to stop us from speaking and stop us from understanding. So that's what I got today. Do you guys have any questions or comments? Okay, well, Danielle, are you there?
I'm here.
Are you there, Lily? Are you there, Elizabeth?
I'm here. I'm here for you. I've been doing several things, but listening. And what was the most favorite one of yours?
Exposing the mainstream media. Exposing
that
the mainstream
media. That was a really great
media.
Thing that he did.
Did you cover
my very
the eggs with the antibodies?
Did I cover what, Elizabeth?
Did you? Because I got a friend here, and I was doing several things, but I heard you. I was listening, but
I'm really happy.
Did you cover the eggs? Found
okay.
The eggs have antibodies that can fight COVID. There's just several articles
okay.
out there. And yet,
so that will be the last one, and I really know I didn't. And actually, that's just because I sent it late today, and I actually didn't have it in my other queue. So thank you for pointing that out. Now let me get that article up. But actually,
I
Danielle,
found it to be so interesting that, you know, without, you know, addressing that, they've just made it impossible to have eggs. And I had to think about, when's the last time you heard about demonization of the eggs and cholesterol? You haven't in years. And now all of a sudden they've got good benefits. And of course it's too expensive. Only rich people can have eggs. And,
and remember, Elizabeth, Danielle hit the spray bottle at me and said no.
Yes.
And
yes, I know.
As I,
without reading
I
it.
I know. Okay. But here's the thing. I was excited to see it and thought to myself, well, gee, maybe that's why my whole family didn't get COVID, because we eat a lot of eggs. And,
how about that,
and,
huh?
And I was correct, but you know what? So was she, because apparently they are testing and trying to inject it into eggs for consumption. So both of us were right. So the article that Elizabeth is talking about, there was a study at UC Davis. Apparently they found out that there are antibodies in eggs to COVID-19. And this article is from July 13th, 2022. but it also raised my eyebrows as to why maybe they were getting rid of the all of the hens here in the United States so they could introduce this new sort of breed of bird with these. Okay, so let me explain what they're doing. Yep.
So how convenient for them to be able to synthesize it. Because we can't get it from the egg anymore.
University of California, Davis, have been able to produce antibodies to the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein in hen eggs. Antibodies harvested from eggs might be used to treat COVID-19 or as a preventative measure for people exposed to the disease. The work was published July 9th in the journal Viruses. The beauty of the system is that you can produce a lot of antibodies in birds. And it says that in addition to a low cost, it's low cost to produce these antibodies in hens. They can be updated. Here's the part where it gets bad. Updated very fast by using updated antigens to hyper-immunize hens, allowing protection against current variant strains. So hens, the antibodies from the eggs are naturally protecting us, and so that's not good enough for these people. They want to F around and increase the something, make them hyper immunize them. The good news is that if you eat eggs, you're probably protected from COVID, thank goodness, but they're fooling around. Birds produce a type of antibody called IgY, comparable to IgG in humans and other mammals. IgY does not cause allergy or set off immune reactions when injected into humans. Yikes. IgY appears both in bird serum and in their eggs. As a hen lays about 300 eggs a year, you could get a lot of IgY. Gallardo said, this is one of the researchers, Gallardo and colleagues immunized hens with two doses of three different vaccines. Oh, God, this is where it gets bad. Based on the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein or receptor binding domain. They measured antibodies in blood samples from the hens and in egg yolks 3 and 6 weeks after the last immunization. So what they're doing, they're taking something really cool in hen eggs that protects us from COVID. They're fooling around in it. They're gain of function. So Danielle, get the spray bottle, and I'll just keep eating my own eggs here on the farm. I suggest everyone who can does the same thing so that we're not getting freaking Frankenstein eggs after they've killed all the birds in the United States. Feed prices are still increasing. Egg prices are through the roof. I heard they were $8 and $9 a dozen in the grocery store, which is terrifying because that's really one of those staples that many, many households consume on a daily basis. So,
hey, it used to be like $1 around here for a dozen eggs not too long ago.
Yep. So I think most of the backyard providers are still charging relatively normal prices. I'm still getting $6 a dozen, but that's about right for California, John. In most of the other states, they're getting $3 and $4 a dozen, and then which is their usual price. So if you want eggs, go on one of your Facebook sites and the chicken sites and ask if anybody has any instead of going to buy them from the store. Besides, it sounds like they're doing Frankenstein crap with the ones that are being provided from the grocery store anyway. So support your local.
Did you have any
support? Go ahead.
Did you notice the difference with the feed? Did you see those TikToks? Even Tucker had a story of one of the TikTok women, the farm egg women, talking about how the feed was they narrowed it down. The feed was causing the hens not to lay the hens.
not to lay the eggs yet. Anymore. Well, this time of year,
did you personally
normal.
Have a problem with
that? Hold on, Elizabeth. Hold on. Yes, I knew about that. At this time of year, it's normal for hens to slow down, first of all. What they found, though, it was mostly people who were buying their feed from Tractor Supply, and they were getting no eggs. So, yes, it was happening. You guys know that I ferment my own feed, and then I stopped doing that because of my health, right? You know, I got really, really sick. But I still was buying the crumble from a locally sourced manufacturer from Cahoots Pet Store. So it's produced right here in San Diego County or, you know, Southern California somewhere. So I never did buy from a Tractor Supply. And my hens continued to lay, the younger ones, pretty much, you know, not regular, like because that happens in the winter. But throughout the winter, I got eggs. Maybe perhaps not as many as I usually do, but that's normal. But yes, many of the people on the chicken site said that their hens stopped laying completely. And they believe it's the feed. So, yes, they were trying to kill all of our birds and certainly not allowing us to eat the eggs. And it could have something to do with that article that we just explored. Great question, Elizabeth.
Well, I'm not surprised about the artificial. It sounds like they're trying to get an artificial equivalent to what the eggs give you.
Yep.
Naturally.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Because it's the big pharma, you know, being in bed with government, and what they want to do is get everyone dependent on what they're producing, on the artificial end of it.
Yes.
And you're going to see more and more, I think, that in order to get the artificial solutions, you're going to have to be more and more compliant. So
yes, if anybody within the sound of my voice, I'm recommending that you buy 6 hens and 1 rooster if you're allowed to have it, and just eat your own eggs, and they're healthy, they're nutritious, they're much fresher. You know what feed is going in their bodies, and it's better that way. But it sounds like, John, you are correct. If you're buying them from the store, they've been played with, and I worried. Oh, and you know what? I did have one more piece of good news. San Diego has decided that they are not going to mandate the vaccine for children in a San Diego Unified School District. So that was my last piece of good news that I forgot, and I wanted to make sure, because that was also in a different queue that I had. They're going to not mandate the COVID vaccine for San Diego Unified School District. So that made me happy. And I'm sorry for that.
I was like, yay. That was like the God wins moment of the week.
Yeah.
Yay.
Well, you know,
my
Grandma
God.
Been, well,
do you ever think we have to be fighting for like this? You know?
No, I never.
This is a
happy. My daughter is fighting with the school district right now. They stopped teaching my granddaughter, Ava, because of her vaccine records, because Danielle has been not wanting to get vaccines for my granddaughter. And one of them was going to be the COVID vaccine. Yep, until here just they have decided to not mandate the COVID vaccine. It was just this week. Praise the Lord. So,
no kidding. My God.
Wonderful news. I am going to sign off unless you guys have any other questions or comments for me. I'm going to go give my chickens a little bit more food before I bed them down for the night.
I love you, Carlos. Thank you for sharing those stories.
Thank you. You're welcome. I enjoyed doing it. I'll see you guys next week, okay?
You take good care of yourself. We love you. Thanks a lot.
We love you guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We needed good news. I swear to God, it's crazy. You know, the news story is, you know, the official end of COVID is coming up, and all they're segueing that story with, of course, that means that all the vaccines now will not be given away for free by the government. You'll have to pay for them. And it's like there's no, you know, the wicked witch is dead. Yay, we can all breathe. No, no. For those of you that think this is the only thing that's going to save you, now you're going to have to worry about how much Big Pharma is going to charge for these things. And, we'll, you know, everyone.
All it is a cold now. Like, it's become so mild. It's no worse than a common cold, as I understand it.
I don't know. This thing I've had, this is why everybody's wearing masks around here. And I'm not mocking them anymore because this is a wicked, wicked cold. This is horrible bronchitis. The RSV, whatever they were touting, and I've had it for months, and it's not just a cold. It's evil. And this is nothing. I mean, through 3 years, I haven't been sick until now, and now I'm just like, help me, please. It's really, I don't know. I'm pulling back from the it's just a cold and a sniffles. This is like some wicked shit. So I'm going to have to disagree with you on that because I have been sick. And so is everybody.
Well, yeah, but is it COVID?
I don't know.
No, what I was saying is that I think COVID has gotten mild. Yes, there are certainly other things out there, like bronchitis. But what I've heard about COVID specifically is that it's become as mild as a common cold. But, I mean, I don't know. It's funny because I had a psychiatrist appointment who was asking me about it's like, oh, you know, you got to be careful about COVID because it might just look like a common cold now. And I'm like, well, if it's just a common cold, why do I care about it? Like, that's, I thought that was funny.
During a that is kind of funny, Mr. MD over there. Way to keep your mental health stable. Yes. Hey, Lily.
Do you have a nebulizer and, some colloidal silver?
I have a diffuser of essential oils. And what I noticed, because I was doing I had nailed this down to a science, because I used to get bronchitis all the time. It was horrible. I found cypress, eucalyptus. And then if it was really bad, I'd throw some oregano oil into it, and I would diffuse that. And I felt as if I couldn't breathe because I was so dry. I was so thirsty. I felt as if every membrane in my body was just dried up, and it wasn't working properly, and I couldn't breathe. And I thought to myself, because the cypress dries up all the mucus, and I thought, I think I'm drying my lungs out with this diffuser for essential oils. So I shut that off, and then I started cooking water on the stove and getting the house full of steam. And I would just take
the steam is amazing.
I put my head over, and I would breathe the steam, and that was the only thing that would help me to breathe. So that was kind of like the homemade nebulizer kind of thing. And then intermittently.
Steam is great.
Yeah, but even that wasn't quite. This was a scary thing. It was like it was very, very difficult to breathe. So
when I had pneumonia,
because
I have asthma, so when I get like a pneumonia, it's like a life and death kind of situation. And I was nervous, but I didn't want to go to the hospital. And when I, so I did the steam baths and like just I would do it in the bathroom actually and get all the water really hot so I could just like stay in that one area, and I would actually put some eucalyptus into the bath, like into that water, so that I wasn't diffusing it all the time, but it was helping with like the steam break it up. But if you have access to Molin, will completely clear out your lungs, but it won't dry you up. Actually, it will just allow you to like cough it out, or you know, like blow your nose and get it all out. And colloidal silver, if you can nebulize that into your lungs, it'll kill all of it. Those two things like saved my life.
I've never had silver. The mullein, I have a whole ton of mullein tea that I started cooking up in drinking.
Perfect.
Because I tell you, it got where you weren't able to feel like you could breathe, it was a psychological hell. The only time I was comfortable with standing up. And it was like, I think I was telling at the beginning of the show how I couldn't sleep. It was like, that was what was going to kill me, was not being able to sleep because I can't breathe when I fall asleep. And that was the
whatever
scariest
this
part.
Is feels very much like it is like attacking the nervous system almost, you know, like not just the lungs or the head. But when I had it, I felt like my nervous system no longer belonged to me and was like under attack by something else. And I couldn't sleep either. I couldn't sleep. And also like I felt confused and disoriented a lot. And that was kind of scary. And when my children got it after I did, my daughter was also like very disoriented and felt like she was hallucinating and was feeling really scared. So yeah, like whatever this is definitely, it feels like biological warfare and is evil, but like you can still, you can still beat it. And I forgot about the colloidal silver. And after I started doing that, then like 2 days later, I was perfectly fine again.
Well, good. I'm very glad. This thing was so strange that it wouldn't continue throughout the day. It only happened at night. And I was like, this is diabolically evil, as if they were flipping a switch that fucked my body up at night. So and knowing everything I know, I'm just like, it was almost as if there was, you were fighting a demon attack in the evening and all through the night. It was horrible. And I just, I hate this government that they have all these toys that they can use like this in order to take our well-being and our freedoms and our peace of mind away to use for their diabolical agenda. That's how I was feeling. I'm just like, this is, it was too much. And it keeps coming back. And this is the best I've felt. And I'm just hoping I'm on the other side of it. But I've used everything except that the colloidal silver that I have not used. And I don't have, but the strangest thing is that you are so dry and that you, there's no amount of water you can drink to keep yourself from being, you're like, as if there's a low wave microwave going, that's, you know, a microwave will and cause you to be dry. I'm just like, this, if they're using this type of energy that they have, this is just pure fucking evil. And how do you fight pure fucking evil like that? I prayed, and I actually had the Bible on my chest one night, and that's the only way that got me out of it. It was almost like talking myself down from a bad acid trip. It was horrible.
Absolutely. And, you know, the theory is that this is some type of radiation poisoning because it has all of the symptoms, right, of like an electrical radiating thing. And so the theory that I've seen a lot of people talking about, and they actually have really good information that they're using to back this theory, is that they turn the 5G towers on higher, and when that happens, it causes all of this microwave radiation in our body that comes through our electromagnetic field and can't get filtered out because it's a new thing that our bodies aren't used to, right? Like, they don't know what this is or how to deal with it. And so because radiation sickness, you have all of those symptoms, like it affects your breathing, it affects the confusion, it affects your sleep, all of those things. And that's one of the ways that I think silver helps, because it actually does help to absorb some of that radiation and get rid of it.
Does it really?
So,
So
the 5G, isn't that mainly only in cities at the time, at the moment?
They've got it everywhere because they have, like, I live in Nebraska, and we're pretty rural, like,
not
the exact town that I live in, but everywhere around us, you know, is, like, rural and farms, and they've got these insidious little 5G towers everywhere.
Yeah, and that's the horrible thing, is that you almost, then the more that I travel, they're putting them out on the highways, these huge, ominous-looking, they're like the electrical towers that they used to have, the power lines from back in the 70s, and those actually hummed. They hummed. Anybody that lived next to them, they all moved because the effects and actually hear the hum of electricity. These are like all like transformer-like towers made out of graphite, and they're ominous, and they're putting them up everywhere. So you almost have to get, you know, this is like the new power grid they're putting in. And when they are implementing it, I honest to God, I think that this is, you know, on this end of it, it's like, is this what they're doing? Is they're slowly turning this on? And this is what's mimicking the supposed bioweapon that they have been talking about. It's hard to tell what the actual truth of the matter is, but the truth is that when you get, this is a horrible sickness, and it's not a consistent. Like, you would be like, you know, in the morning I wake up and I'd be fine. If this was a true sickness, I'd be sick, sick, sick all day long and for days and days and not be able to go through the day. And then as soon as a certain time of night, it started again. And it was only at night. And it was just, it was pure fucking evil. It's the only way I can
describe it. It's a really weird thing. And there's a book. It's incredible. It's called The Invisible Rainbow. And the entire book talks about the last, like, 100 years and every major virus or illness or whatever you want to call it that has occurred directly after the introduction of a brand new technology. So, they had the Spanish flu, there was the first, they made a radio transmitter that you could call on the radio from one side of, like, this earth, whatever, and you could call all the way to another country on the other side. And when they did that, that altered the electromagnetic field such that all of a sudden you have a Spanish flu and everybody's getting sick, and then they introduce a vaccine that kills more people. And it's followed along that way with every single major illness that has occurred. And that is very interesting, because then I remember the teachings of the Hopi, where, like, Dan Ivahima and some of the last, like, elderly elders that were traditional and not progressive were in kind of, it was a conflict between the progressive Hopi and the traditional Hopi and the Diné and our Lakota tribe and tons of other tribes, because the traditionalists said that having these power lines and stuff come through were going to wreak horrible havoc on the earth and the people, and it was going to lead to nothing but destruction and problems. And then, of course, the younger generations were taught in the residential schools and stuff that they would be perfectly safe and it would allow them to have new things and then they could catch up with the rest of the world. And so they wanted it. But, you know, like, every single time they introduce something new like this, the elders fight it. And the reason is because people end up hurt and sick, and the earth ends up hurt, you know, and, like, it's just never a good thing. It would be good. Like, technology can be good, but they won't allow us to access the free energy technology that doesn't harm the earth and doesn't harm our bodies, right? And so the only stuff they introduce is always poison.
Well, right. And, you know, back during the time of the Spanish flu, they still had radios that were transmitted with crystals.
Yeah.
And that was the old ancient really good way to produce the energy. Then they switched over to radio waves and then the radar, and it altered the natural flow. And this, what we have is, you know, honestly, got microwaves. When you think about, I don't cook with a microwave because it just doesn't do a nice job and the food tastes bad. It turns out too dry and whatnot. And that's exactly what I felt like was happening to my body, was that I was being slowly dried out in a microwave. And I'm just like, how the fuck do I get away from this? I can't jump in my car and drive away from this, can I? How far is this? You know, it's like, I felt so fucking helpless in living in a fucking hell of bad technology, and knowing that, you know, the government is even, you know, trying to get even bigger and better and badder things, and you've got all the satellites that are rolling around the electrical the Van Allen belts, and it's just we are just like in a ball of this bad electrical net that they put out, and they can, you know, turn on harp and do this, and it's just like just all that knowledge on top of that made me freak out even more as to what was going on with me.
Absolutely. And, you know, like microwave radiation, the reason that the food in the microwave doesn't taste very good and gets dry is because it literally kills all of the nutrients and all of, like, the living cells in the food that are what nourish your body. And that the 5G radiation is a form of microwave radiation. And what's even worse than that is you know, like, they've got them everywhere, and because their goal is to put 6G, but they have to use people to be the battery for 6G. And so there's a lot of information that's come out about that because China is already using 6G, and that is powered by graphene. Well, when they give the vaccine for COVID, it is a graphene oxide-based vaccine that affects the mRNA. So then all of a sudden now you can use those people's bodies. It's called the Internet of Bodies. Like, you literally use their bodies as batteries because we are electric. Our cells are electrical. Everything in our bodies is electrical. And illnesses are an electrical response because then outside of our body we've got this electromagnetic field that, you know, like, we do actually work as batteries for their for their regular towers that they already had, like the power lines and stuff, right? Like, it's funny
to me. Part of their power grid.
Yeah, and it pisses me off, right? Because we pay them for the electricity that they generate from our bodies.
Well, and they put this shit in the chemtrails, too. So it's in the air. We're breathing it in. And I kept thinking, how much of this, they'll have a thin layer of this shit just in my membranes, and it's just solidified, and it's just it was way too much. And even knowing all this is way too, I almost wish I was ignorant to all this, and perhaps I wouldn't have such a reaction. Is it psychosomatic? I don't know on that end.
It is definitely psychological warfare.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a question I wanted to ask you about the birds and the prophecies. It will come to me later, or maybe next week. Anyway.
Or you can message me, whatever.
Yeah.
I am down with
it. If it comes, it doesn't. Anyways. So what have you been up to, my dear? How's your RV coming along?
It's good. It's kind of at a standstill for now, which is frustrating, but it's fine. I've just got to fix the brake pads before I can leave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hopefully going to get that done in the next week or two.
Have you looked into the viability of where you'll have access to live as you travel, how hard it's going to be to do this off-grid life?
Yeah, and it's actually not hard at all. Well, so it's ironic because I don't have a ton of friends where I live just because I don't go with the flow of society, right? And I'm a little feral, and so that's fine. But we have friends that I know that live all over the place, and so a bunch of them have asked if we would come and hang out with them and help with different things, and then we could stay there, like on their land and stuff. And so that's super cool, and it gives us access. And then I already have my healing business, but I have been making like candles and soaps and coffee scrubs and body butters, and then oils that are like tinctures, you know, that you can use like topically if you have an injury, or you can like orally take them, and I make fire cider. And so I decided to start selling those on my website for my healing business. And I'm super excited about that. And it's a little crazy, But I decided, because I really miss having chickens and I want chickens again, and I was talking with Danielle, mm-hmm. and she said that I should, like, brood the chickens, you know, and then sell baby chicks to people along my travels. But I think that actually going to invest in a little small trailer that pulls behind, and I'm going to put a chicken uh-huh. tractor inside of it, and because I'm going to build cool. it with just, like, wood to build it up, right? And one part of it is going right. to be for the chickens, and it's going to have the chicken tractor so that when we stop, we can, like, put them out to free range, and they're still in the tractor, so, like, nobody right. can technically get mad at me. And I'm going to put a greenhouse on the other side, and I'm going to just, like, have our own traveling homestead. We're putting, when we get to either Texas or Georgia, we're going to put solar panels up on the top. So I'm super excited about this stuff because I feel like cool. it's turning into, like, a traveling homestead, which is crazy, but just crazy
no,
enough to
not.
Work.
I think it's fantastic. It is fantastic.
I live on the road myself, but in a different way because I'm a trucker. But I do live in the truck most of the time.
But they've got, you know, they have a wonderful I want to say ecosystem for you. And I mean, are fantastic.
Well, if you ever, if you're traveling and you need a shower, I recommend Pilot Flying J truck stops. They have very clean showers.
Yeah. They're like going to bed.
Thank you. And
like,
thank
oh
you. Thank you, John. And also thank you for your like job that you do because, you know, most people would not have food without you. So. I appreciate you.
Oh, yeah, especially cities. Yeah.
But so, I mean, there's like...
Yeah,
there's
and
like,
I do deliver food, too.
Even like vets, you know, you can drive through vets, and it's like, it's really, you know, they've made it a real workable lifestyle to be a trucker, which is really cool. And I'm just wondering how, if their next thing to do would be to make it impossible for people to have places to hook up their RVs to, you know, that was my wonderment is like, how easy is it going to be? Are you going to travel and be like, oh, they don't allow this, that, and whatever, you know, to rein us into this lifestyle that they want. But the trucker lifestyle is pretty cool. I must say some of those truck stops are pretty neat. It's allured me. I'm like, maybe we might
yeah.
want to do this.
But, oh, and
I think
and Loves has the best tacos.
Who?
Well, you gotta know where to get the
Loves
best truck. Food.
they got the best tacos. I love them.
Thank
but
you.
It's definitely a lot better now in the days of unlimited mobile data. Because when I first started, that wasn't the case. So all I had all day was just, you know, basically the radio and that's it. But now, you know, I can listen to podcasts, audiobooks. I mean, you could get audiobooks mm-hmm. like on CDs, but they're incredibly expensive. And you can't really fiddle with the CD very well while you're driving, you know, to change them over. But, yeah, so it's definitely much better with the unlimited data with the cell phones because we got a lot more that I can do now while I'm on the road.
That's cool. Good deal.
But
and,
I don't mind it. I mean, if you, how far what?
How far do you go? Do you go across the country? Have you encountered some horrible
birth? I used to. Now I deliver for Meijer, which I know you
okay,
know
yeah.
what that is.
Mm-hmm.
I deliver your area mm-hmm. a lot of the time, the Chicago area.
I do know Meijer. I don't shop at Meijer, but I do
yep.
know. I know of them, yeah.
Yeah.
They're a little too big for me.
Yep.
I'm
going
I
up to Wisconsin
store.
Tonight.
Oh, cool.
But I go in Indiana, Illinois, sometimes Ohio, up to, I start out in Michigan. But then sometimes I go up to the Upper Peninsula, up to Marquette, way up north. That's about as far as I go nowadays.
Out you go.
So,
I know my friend's son does. He's gotten stuck in some really horrible snowstorms up in Montana, and he's
he's
gotten the white knuckle where he's like he doesn't want to drive certain routes anymore because of the it's been pretty hairy and pretty scary.
I have not driven a truck through Montana, but I did go through Wyoming, which is a lot of that.
Yeah, Wyoming. Oh, good. In 2 seconds, you can get a blizzard. I was out there once when that happened. And that was, that was so scary. It was really unbelievable.
It gets bad enough around here. I mean, remember right before Christmas, or was it right before, after? Right before Christmas.
Yeah.
I was out Christmas Eve driving.
Oh, wow.
It was awful. But I made it. And it was down to like 5 miles an hour at some point.
This ice storm that hit the whole country is just like, good Lord.
Yeah. Well, it's just warming up again now, so I'm kind of glad for that. It's up to 37, and it feels like a heat wave.
For the moment. I mean, it's almost as if they can just, flip the you know, like a little kid playing with the light switch. I don't know what that was. But the mad scientists that do the weather, it's like, it was 60 here, and then in two days it was like 20 below. Oh, just
when was that?
Groundhog Day.
Wait, I'm actually in that area now. I'm coming into Illinois.
Yeah, well, a couple days ago, it was 20 below. And then in two more days, it was like up to 30. It was insane. It was like, how can this be? What is going on? And I'm like, harp. You know, they can just, knowing that they can modify the weather at their will, and they have these mad scientist type of technology. It's just like, you guys need to figure it out. Get us a season. If you want to make it as cold as possible, then do it. But give us a little leeway into it's another season. But this on and off. And even down in Texas, they're not, they weren't accustomed to this. And now it's becoming, I think in order to survive in Texas, they're going to have to get heating and be prepared for winter instead of freaking out over their pipes freezing over a cold snap, because the jet stream or whatever has definitely changed. And I haven't seen, because I don't have the news, but I heard about the ice storm that was going on, and it's just like, this doesn't make any sense that it can go from Texas all the way up to, it's like a northeaster, but it's all ice, you know, up into Tennessee.
It is weird.
It was 100, it was like 100 below zero up in Maine and stuff, and I'm like, what the fuck? You know, it's insane.
With all this talk about global warming, I'm more worried about the opposite of going back into the ice age again. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's a greater concern.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're currently technically in an ice age right now, or just in an interglacial period, so. The natural order of climate would put us back in an ice age at some point, but I don't know what the time frame is. But hopefully we're not going back into the ice age again. That would be awful. Global warming, I think, wouldn't be so bad because we've got all that land in the northern hemisphere, in Canada, in Russia. And if it got warmer, it seems like that land up there might become arable and useful, which seems like a net positive to me.
I don't know.
You imagine if all that land, like Siberia and stuff, could be useful. But... So I don't know. I think that there's too much freak out about it.
I don't know. If we become good stewards of the land. I mean, we've got wonderful areas. Look what we're doing to the rainforest. Burning it down, you know. We simply are failing at being the stewards of the earth that we should be. And it would serve us right if Mother Nature said, fuck you, we need to get the fleas off the dog for a while, because we certainly would not be without
Okay.
Oh, what's the word I'm looking for? Anyways, we need to be fired because we're doing a really piss poor job of what we have now. It really is a shame.
Now, you're in Chicago, right? You said, or
yeah, just outside of Chicago.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just there. I was stranded there because my truck had some problems and I had to take it in. And I don't remember exactly where it was. But there was this nice little Mexican place there that I went to. And it was quite nice. But I was, I could see the big buildings in the distance, you know, the skyscrapers and whatnot. But I was not in that area. It must have been just a couple miles from there, though, because I could see him. Somewhere just off of 55.
That would be like the northern, off of 55. The northern suburbs, the closer, like, into, like, I don't know, 290. Is that like 290?
It was by railroad.
Chicago.
Rail yard. Yeah. Yeah, it was all right. I didn't really mind being stranded there. I kind of walked around and stopped at a couple places. I've learned that you have to take a bad situation and try to make something out of it in life. So,
absolutely.
So you get stranded and walk around and see a couple things, you know.
Enjoy.
Don't just sit there and be sad about it, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As with everything. As with everything.
Yeah. I've been eating a lot of eggs lately, too.
Danielle, I think.
I don't know what happened to her. She hasn't.
That's okay.
She's abandoned her own show. She's abandoned us. But I've been eating a lot of eggs, too. I like breakfast food.
She's having technology issues.
So.
That was what, the greasy spoons and the truck stops, those are the best places to go. And around here, they have eliminated all the good places. And it's like, you can't get, remember Denny's? Denny's was the best and it's been around forever. They closed.
Yeah, I was there. I ate there today.
I'm like, no. Oh, did you? Good. And maybe it was just the one up by us. But I thought, oh, that's a shame.
They got
not
these
even
caramel,
like, it wasn't
banana,
the best place, but it was one of the last places that you could go and get breakfast no matter what.
At any time. Yeah, it's like the only place that's open 24 hours anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, back in the
which
day.
Which is sad.
We'd stop at Denny's. before people became acclimated to stopping at the ever-popular White Castle.
Hello.
You know, it's kind of like, hello, darling. Welcome back. We're talking greasy
spoons. I have no idea what is going on. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. No, it's okay. We're glad you're back.
we're
talking
so
about life with truck driver.
If you want to go to a Denny's that's kind of near you, exit 15 on the I-80 in Indiana. I don't know how far that is from where you are, but there's one there.
That's a little far. There was one off of 90, and that seems to have gone out of business. But that's okay, because you still got McDonald's. You know, it's like the population has gotten away from sitting down in a real restaurant, and that's what really saddens me, is that our way of life has just been whittled away to crap food. And I used to be in the food and beverage business years back. And when they started talking about McDonald's being a restaurant, I was like, no, McDonald's is not a restaurant. And my guy would be like, no, they are, because they got this set. You know, you can go in and get this, this, and that. And it's like, but it's all crap. I want to go into a greasy spoon and a Greek restaurant, and you know you can get, you know, you order two eggs over easy, and you get three or four. And you get the great toast, and you get the bacon. It's on a plate. You eat with a fork. A waitress fills your coffee up. Even Dunkin' Donuts used to be like that. You'd have a nice ceramic cup, and you'd sit there and drink coffee all night if you wanted to. And they just keep filling it up. And then they get changed hands, and then, you know, everything's through a drive-thru. You're relegated to living in your car eating out of a bag. And nobody seems to be bothered with that. And it bothers me the most, because that's not how the one joy of life is to eat and to sit and talk. And they've taken that away. And nobody has said boo to it. And they're all living in their cars eating shitty food. And it's
Zach
like,
is with us, by the way.
How sad. What?
Hey.
Zach, hey there. Welcome, buddy. How are you?
Good. I was just finishing some broccoli.
You eat broccoli? Hey. Chopping broccoli.
Yeah. Yeah, way back I heard you talking about chest problems and whatnot, kind of pneumonia-like, and also EMF. So if you
it seemed to be the most horrific.
Yeah.
Man, and it's like, should we wrap ourselves in blankets of tinfoil? Is that how we're going to fight this? It's like it's so disheartening. So disheartening. Yeah.
Well,
oh my God.
The studies on EMF basically say that, and a lot of them are animal studies, but I would say that's good enough. Is that they create oxidative stress, so it's just like any kind of pollution, in a sense. They do interfere with neurotransmitters. They do interfere with calcium absorption, so you have intercellular calcium, which is not good. So immediately, you start thinking about D3, K2, and magnesium, especially magnesium. And usually it's, 2-to-1 or 4-to-1 calcium to magnesium. So if you ever know what you're eating or consuming, the calcium, especially if you're a milk drinker, you're probably going to have a lot of undigested calcium, believe it or not. Burping. So, some of the things that are in the COVID protocols are helpful. N-acetylcysteine, which is pro-glutathione, the body's ability to deal with toxins. And then also things that prevent, vitamin E, zinc, EGCG from green tea are also in some of these protocols. Very helpful. Those are liver protective. So the liver's got to, so basically if you think any poison, the liver's got to deal with it. Selenium, so they're your eggs, have high levels of B, zinc, and selenium. They're like multivitamins for B, and then vitamin C and A also has antioxidant protective. So eating those eggs, the brighter the yellow yolk, the better. Vitamin C, which is the cheapest, easiest, safest way to antitoxin, antipoison, is to load up on it. And if you feel funky, you feel run down, no one's ever died of vitamin C yet. And if you've got the rumblies, then you can back off and you can take half that amount as a daily dose. So, in other words, your intestines say, oh, all full, all the batteries are charged. We're good, we're going to flush the rest. And the more food-grade vitamin C, the better, because usually you're getting it from corn and other synthetic kind of constructs, and half of it won't even leave your intestines. Half of it's just going to be bulk. So you take a gram, you're really going to deal with 500 milligrams, and then you have to absorb it. So the liposomal C is great.
Are hard-boiled eggs as good as cooked eggs?
Sure. If you eat the yellow, one thing that's kind of come across the nutrient landscape is people are more and more eating the eggs over easy. Now, if you're eating an industrial egg, you might be looking at some real bacteria, and you might be looking at some salmonella. If it's a natural egg, in other words, like you guys are pasture raising your egg, your hen, that's cool. And part of the reason is that for example, if you scramble an egg, you're taking those fats and the yolk and you're mixing them with oxygen and you're also adding heat. So two things, a long-winded answer to your question is the less heat, the better for fats. So don't maybe boil it slowly. I don't think boiling is quite as bad of heat because you're going through this egg and through the shell and stuff. When you cook your eggs, cook it on a 2 or a 3, you know, the way you would cook a smoke point for olive oil. You know, you'd even use a better fat than that to cook it, like coconut oil. But you want to cook it low heat. And part of the idea of not scrambling it is you don't want to mix it with air. Like, you wouldn't want to blend it up in a blender. Now you're mixing it with oxygen.
So one thing I really like to do, and I haven't done it for a while, but it's like I'll cook bacon and then use the bacon grease to cook the eggs in instead of cooking oil. That's really good.
Yeah,
it makes them all brown, and they look dirty, but they're good.
Yeah. But it is
good.
Want to
avoid,
and the more fat, the better.
You want to avoid any black particulate in the, like, once you get those sort of particles, even from bacon, if you're cooking with high heat, you want to remove that, because that is carcinogenic. Like, if you cook it on high heat, even animal saturated fat at a certain point burns, right? So once it's black, it ain't food, okay? Then you've changed those proteins, you've rendered them differently, you've denatured them, just like microwaves will denature those nutrients and proteins. When you look at them, they're all screwed up. If you look at them up under a microscope, you know, they're no longer, that DNA has been damaged. So if you have a lot of
kids
around the oil, strain it.
If you got kids, you can't have anything that's black when you're cooking. You have to adjust.
Or green.
You become a little better cooking.
You guys never let me have any fun.
Kids are so damn picky, but you know what? We were all picky too, and I'm like, oh my Lord, but yep, you want it just so, and if you cook
yeah,
it slow.
I was not allowed to be. If I didn't eat what my mom cooked, I didn't eat like that. That was it.
My mom would always say, charcoal is good for you.
Oh.
Like,
yeah,
you don't like nothing.
I'm surviving. It'll
make your teeth white.
Survive the 80s.
Charcoal does do that. It does grab toxins and metals, but what you're making is not charcoal, okay?
That's what they use in gas masks.
Yeah.
Charcoal.
We didn't like our toast burnt.
I still have one from when I was in the military.
Scraping going on.
but those grill marks and those char marks on our steaks and on our vegetables, those
I
love it.
That's where.
But
it's black and blue.
That's not
good.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, so you get it. So just lower the heat. That's all you got to do. Use a oil that won't smoke, and natural duck fat or beef fat or pig fat won't smoke it at a high temperature, as high.
Yeah.
But you still can't be cooking on high. You're still talking about like a 5 or a 6. And so you got to slow it down. If you need, use a lid, and you're more efficient that way. But just, we got to cook on lower heat.
Yeah,
well,
charcoal will also filter out farts, I found. If you put on a gas mask that's got the charcoal in it, and somebody farts, you won't smell it.
Well, there you go.
Boom. Military wisdom there.
Military wisdom.
Unlike with regular masks that people wear in the grocery store.
Yeah, they don't really do anything. Yeah, if you really want to be safe, get yourself a military grade gas mask, and that'll probably keep you safe.
You know,
That might be all
Cornell
the rage
University.
Next year with the kids and those. That's terrible. Terrible.
Cornell University did a study on the 3-second rule. Or is it the 5-second rule? If something hits the ground,
five-second rule. Yeah.
5-second rule, is it contaminated?
Oh my God.
What do you think they found?
And what was their finding?
Yeah, don't
their
leave us in suspense. What happened?
Their finding was mom was right.
Of course it's contaminated. Of course it's got bacteria on the ground.
What do you think?
But we're not made out of money. It's good.
Apparently Cornell is.
All right, next you're going to tell me throwing salt over your shoulder doesn't bring you luck.
It wards off.
Your body can handle a little bacteria here and there, though. I mean, I don't think every once in a while you drop something, pick it up, and eat it. I mean, I don't think that's horrible. Like,
I think that needs to be coming back. Yes. We have to stop being so fucking erotic.
What if you blow on it? Did they blow on it in the Cornell study?
You know, they suffer from sunshine there, and they suffer from seasonal affective disorder, so, you know.
I can't believe they didn't
I heard
they
have
like
the
that.
Highest suicide rate out of any school. Can we really trust anything that comes out of Cornell?
Yep, I'm sad. That's right. And these people were working on nanotechnology. They created a microscopic guitar and played it. I'm like, you people are idiots.
Oh my God!
I also think that the idea that you can prevent any foreign or bad bacteria or viruses from entering your body is silly. I mean, you're out there living your life. You're going to get some stuff like that in your body. Like you can't.
Sure.
I mean, you can minimize it, I guess, but I mean, the idea that you can just prevent it completely is kind of silly. So
well, there's no need to. There's even a notion that these viruses are upgrading our genetic code, right? So the virus itself is not alive. It can be inert and inactive, but bacteria are alive, and mold and funguses seem to be alive. But virus is kind of like this DNA delivery system. So if we didn't have contact with them, we probably wouldn't be evolving properly.
That's true. And I think, you know, we were talking about COVID earlier, and I think one of the worst things that happened during COVID was having people, you know, telling people that the best thing for your health was to lock yourself, you know, in your house and you know, spray Lysol everywhere. Don't get any sunshine. And most importantly, don't get within 6 feet of people, because honestly, like every day we get little pieces of viruses in, you know, introduced into our system, then our body can figure out how to handle them, what they are. But without that, I think that the death toll of this virus is so much more than it could have been if we just would have introduced our bodies to it slowly in pieces. I think we would have been in a much better place.
I do have to say about the vaccine that were I in a high risk category, like if I were old or had a compromised immune system, I probably would have taken the vaccine, because I think then the risk assessment changes, as opposed to, you know, being not elderly and more or less healthy. So
only if you had something that was serious concern. And then, even then, statistically, that's not a very good gamble. And there's no data. I mean, what is the harm data on it, right?
Do we need data all the time? You know, the cool thing I see a lot out here is...
There is no data.
Nobody needs data. You just need knowledge, old knowledge of... You know, women are taking their babies out in strollers for walks. And I know that these are not American women. These are our immigrants that are here. And that's how you would raise a baby. That's why they had strollers. And they're out in the fucking winter walking with their babies. And I'm like, I look at them and I'm like, oh, my God, it's too cold. But I'm like, no, that's what people will do, is they introduce their children to the outside. Fresh air is good, and it builds their immune system. And you know these people are not from fucking America. They have old world knowledge, and that's what we're lacking here. We can't do anything without a fucking study, and we have to get away from this because these studies are ridiculous. You know,
I meant the Pfizer's own data on it. The Pfizer's, they knew that it was harmful, right? And it didn't affect anybody.
What are the
harmful things that they knew about? Like, what are the
How long symptoms. You got? There's 3 pages of side effects. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Oh, three pages. Could you give me some highlights on like the worst ones?
Your heart
inflammation, strokes, blood clots. death.
Yeah, nerve.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I didn't hear that.
Those are the big ones.
Well, you don't hear about it in the news. So you know, I don't know what it is. I mean, I didn't take the vaccine, and I'm generally opposed to it. I just didn't know what the actual, you know, consequences are, because nobody's telling, you know.
About it.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't think, I think Anthony Fauci infamously told us that if you want to see, what happens in, I'm paraphrasing, but if you want to see the long-term, 5-year effects of a vaccine, you have to wait 5 years, right? We didn't do any
right.
of that.
Exactly.
We didn't wait,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there wouldn't be any point to it at all. I mean, if you waited 5 years. Because COVID would have been over by then, more or less. I mean, as we can see, it is.
I have a call to tell you. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just flabbergasted at how we have trusted the talking heads in authority without having any natural cynicism as to but what's this going to do to me? We've just gone into the land of trusting the man in the white coat, and the man in the white coat is there to make money and doesn't really care
right.
about us.
You know that the white coat even came from Madison Avenue, right? So this, you know, it's
you
been
right?
a
Dr. Casey, they put that through the damn military propaganda war machine from the 1950s. You had Dr. Kildare, all these movies came out, and then you had Ben Casey, then you had Marcus Welby, and it was just pushed down our throats that these are trustworthy men, doctors. And you go back to my parents who grew up in the Depression era, doctors were snake oil salesmen. All they wanted was your money. Nobody went to doctors, and nobody trusted doctors. And it evolved just through propaganda. And look where we are now.
Yeah, well, I definitely, for me, like I avoid going to the doctors if at all possible. And I try to let my immune system handle things. So I agree with that. And I think it's best to rely on your own natural immunities as much as possible. Although I did get bronchitis once and I had to go, it got so bad, like my voice was going. And I had to get some kind of Dex stuff or something. I don't remember. Dex or something.
It's probably an antibiotic.
Yeah, antibiotic.
That's because the old-fashioned way of curing those things were lost upon you. And it's sad. And you know, the biggest thing is our natural, our gut health. They don't talk about that anymore. There was a time when you turn on Channel 11 and you'd have some doctor on there telling you about keeping your gut healthy is the way to good health. And that really is true. Once you get the good bacteria in your gut and get your plumbing system working, your body can flush out whatever toxin loads come your way. And now that's not...
Eat some charcoal.
I can't even tell you. That was probably 10 years ago. That's like a lost segment of knowledge that we had at one point in this society, and we've lost our minds. We've lost our memory as to how we were once in charge of our own health through our actions, through exercise and good food, diet and exercise, and they went the exact opposite direction, where you lock yourself up in your house like a hamster and you'll be okay. And people fell for it because they forgot. And it just it amazes me.
I think it was way back in the Civil War that doctors figured out that sunlight
those pictures of the
was good for
pulling the patients out in outside in their stretchers and laying in the sun, they all got better. I remember seeing pictures of it. Yeah. And
well, in 1958, the Centers for Disease Control was still saying that cigarette smoking does not cause cancer.
I heard it called the T-Zone.
They had doctors in their journal advertising smoking. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, different cigarettes.
Three out of four and doctors recommend Lucky cigarettes.
Lucky Strikes?
Lucky Strikes or Winston?
Yes. Lucky Strikes,
yeah. Yeah.
And that's why I smoke.
And every 1950s movie, you had doctors
smoke,
walking into the room smoking a cigarette.
What? Even I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think Elizabeth did too.
What?
Yeah.
You still smoke, right?
Oh, I'm smoking as we speak, yes. As soon as I was done coughing with my
friends. Highly addictive.
I enjoy it.
Although I did find out that secondhand smoke does not have any correlation with cancer.
I tell you what, I have relatives. They live to be 90 years old, and they smoked and drank their whole life. There's really...
Anecdotal.
It's a crapshoot.
Yeah. It just...
Well, here's the old thing.
You're going to die of something. We never know when we're going to die. Let's enjoy our lives while we have it. And I think we really need to get back to this. You know, we need to have quality of life. I'm going to eat my steak whichever way I want and eat steak because I like it. I don't like fish.
Just not well done.
It's yucky.
Please don't do
like
it well done.
I know, exactly. Never cover a steak and cook it slow. That's the worst thing. Throw it on the grill, get it nice and black, and have it raw on the inside. That's why I like my steak. Those are just things. That's how I like it. I'm going to enjoy my life. Quality of life is what it's all about. Because I don't go into the whole it's only one life, because I do believe we have more things out there. But certainly do not withhold. Don't withhold your love from a people. Do not. Each day needs to be like the best day ever if you can do it, if you've got enough energy. You know, it's kind of like you need to make your time count here. And nobody else should be the bearer of what you should be doing because, you know, I'm not 3 years old anymore. I'm gonna do what I want. Yes, I did when I was three.
Yeah, there's definitely a balance between with that. Like, I think a lot of people want to live their lives just with a sole focus on getting as many, like, hours of breathing as possible, which I think is silly. Because, living a long, long life, but then all you're doing is worrying about, you know, what you're eating and getting the healthiest thing and making sure, like, if you worry too much about that and that's all you're focused on, I don't think you're really living.
No, and now we've gone into the land of codependency.
So there's a balance.
We have to worry about how everything we do and we say and we think affects someone else. Fuck them. That's their life.
Oh,
I'm not excited.
No, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We've gone into a land of really bad toxicity. And
are you saying I can smoke my broccoli?
Your health is not my responsibility. Your happiness, you know, if I'm hurting your feelings, I don't give a shit. Go away.
You hurt my broccoli.
We're in a bad place right now. We got to pull it back.
Yeah, maybe
yeah. Well, and there's nothing wrong with living healthy. There's nothing wrong with focusing on living healthy if that's what you want to do. But I just I think that there's definitely a balance there.
You do what's good for you.
Not bad for you. Also, a lot of things that have been told to us is to create anxiety, which is not healthy. And actually, you'll change your body chemistry if you're anxious about stuff all the time. That you're right. That's probably the worst thing you can do. You know, some of the things that have been told that are good for us aren't, and some of the things that they've said are the boogeyman. Are absolutely, you know, eating steak is not a cholesterol, dietary cholesterol doesn't affect your cholesterol, really. I mean, there can be toxins in the meat that can do that.
You know, I really think that...
Julia Child that said that everything in moderation, including moderation?
Yes, as she drank her wine and ate everything in butter. She was fantastic. And we don't have her anymore. We have all these crazy people that, you know, are now we're in the land of, you know, the government. We're going to cost the government money if we're not. It's like, fuck it. Enjoy. And don't be so fucking obsessed with living forever, because you could get killed in a car accident. You're on the road all the time. People are insane. That's the most dangerous thing I do every day is go out on the fucking road. So I'm going to enjoy every second that I'm not on the road, because I've made
be
it.
Be careful. They might outlaw cars
killed.
If you keep saying that.
Well, they're outlawing gas in California, so.
What?
I know. Stop. I'm not giving up my gas stove. That's what the Second Amendment is about.
Yeah.
Come and try to take it.
Oh, my God. Well, I tell you what, you can hear that whoosh sound as everyone leaves California. Let them do as crazy
it's
as they want.
It's already happening.
Because there aren't going to be people living there anymore. Aren't there truck drivers that refuse to drive into California because of all these fucking rules?
Oh, I don't know.
You got the big corporate guys that will do anything, but the other guys are like, fuck it.
I did drive in California back in 2017. I was over the road a few times, but I don't know. It didn't seem that much different than anywhere else. I mean, the speed limit's lower; it's 55 for trucks there. But that's really the only thing I noticed that was really all that different. I know that you have to. They have to have unions in order to the trucking companies. Everything has to be unionized there. So,
and that's why they won't.
The big a lot of the companies won't do their have. A lot of the companies won't have their operating centers in California. Like they'll just send people in from elsewhere instead of having a base there. If you will, based operations there.
Good luck with that, because it's going to come back and bite them in the ass. All these crazy fucking regulations. You're going to have 12 people living there, and that's it.
But I wonder about this, because they were banning gas in like 2030 or something like that. I don't remember what it was, but I wonder if what they're doing there is that they put that law forth for some political gain or something, with no intention of it ever coming to fruition, because it's so far down the road.
It's their green agenda. They want everything to be electric. They want to, you know, they've got their ideas of what they're doing,
but that's ridiculous. They can't handle the electricity.
It's a snowball effect. They're going to start. Okay, so like I think Virginia, after California passed our law here, I think Virginia had a law that says everything that California passes, we pass when it comes to green climate change stuff. Yeah. So that's what it is. California had to do it.
I don't see that happening in Michigan. Former auto capital of the world, but people are still really into cars
Whitmer's
there.
Still governor. You just wait and see what
happens.
I know.
Well, but
she
hasn't done much recently, and I think that's governor, but I don't think she can really do anything.
Did she go to Davos?
When it comes
to
cars.
Went to Davos. He was pole dancing in Davos.
Went to where?
You want everything they want. Davos. Davos in Switzerland. My God,
I don't know. She's awful.
Well, you know, so
she definitely knows how to dress like a supervillain, though. I got to give her credit for that.
You give her credit for what?
I don't know.
I really don't know how I would dress if I was a supervillain, but I got to give it credit. I got to give her credit. Like it's. You know, she's on point.
I don't watch her, so I don't know.
Leather?
I can't stand that bitch. Gretchen Whitmer.
I'm trying to see
that. I really can't. She is like the lockdown queen.
I don't
understand how people voted for her last year.
Well, they didn't.
It's really...
The machines are rigged.
Oh, there you go.
and they get their people in through corruption. But there is a, such a thing as history repeating itself, and I want you to know about the French Revolution. That was a thing. Let them eat cake. They didn't take it too well. And it's only a matter of time. This is not going to go on forever.
They set up all those little choppy, choppy things in the public square.
They did.
Choppy,
off
choppy.
With their heads.
Oh, the guillotine.
That was
yeah.
A little choppy, choppy.
Yeah.
So let's go have a chop, chop.
Yeah.
Well, and the Wittemer is only going to be around for a couple more years. Three more years. Jeez. But, so if it doesn't happen before then, she'll be gone one way or another.
I think a lot of this gang may not be in office and maybe facing some serious stuff, but kind of, I mean, you have to also understand that there is a, I think, growing statistical probability that we are at war with a group of people, and their intentions are criminal, arch criminal, right? Like they're,
oh yeah,
and, you know, so destroying people's ability to heat their homes and have no transition that's meaningful. It's one thing that we have a bridge fuel or we have an alternative that's more efficient, that works better, blah, blah, blah. People would want to use it anyway. But to force people to do something arbitrarily is a disaster policy. It's sort of like taking civil rights struggles or environmental struggles and just using them as a weapon to herd people, you know. And
yeah.
I've seen that a lot. You know, I've spent years in the environmental ESG investing. But now when corporations willingly adopt this and they're all in tune with it and they're actually using this in a certain direction, I begin to get pretty concerned because it's gone from activism to it's not that we've won, it's just that they're going to use this branding to hurt us. And H-E-R-D, herd, you know, to get people all focused on one thing and buying a certain thing, and then who makes money from that? So we're not seeing, you know, right? I mean, that it was never intended for that. That was never the point of struggle.
The key to that is we don't let them make money anymore. We withdraw our consent and our cash, and we go back to using cash, and we only spend our money with small little businesses that are not, like, bought and paid for by these big corporations. That's how we win this.
There's Federal Reserve notes. Like, if you wanted to get out of it, you'd have to use, like, silver or gold or Bitcoin
where
or something.
Spend your cash. Money talks, bullshit walks. Where you spend your money, and you stop making your life so convenient by having everything Amazon to your house, and you start supporting these little bitty businesses. And when they hit the pocketbook, and you know you don't, you don't use the PayPal. You don't order online. You withdraw the money because that's what they want. And that's where we can say no. And that's within the realm of happening. But you have to stop being so fucking, oh, I want everything at a touch of a button. And what can I do? You could say no. And the money, when the money doesn't come, they'll be like, what can we do? Well, you can have to stop. You know, you've noticed that in the stock market, all these companies are laying. The economy is falling. It's tumbling, and you know there are ways for us to win this, and it just requires a little bit of perhaps an inconvenience on our part, and to have some ball to stand up and say, "I'm not going to go to McDonald's. I don't do this anymore." I don't
wait,
support
so we just
this big corporation that supports the AI technology and the social credit score. And you just go back, it's cash Friday every day. I'm sorry, I only deal with little people. Lily, who's going to sell soap. That's the one thing I'm like, oh, my God, I'm always, if I could only.
That's social credit score.
That's cooperation.
Exactly. There's a lady that did a TikTok who was like, in 2 days I could have a website and pages. If we wanted to do this co-op, you know, we can all barter together. We'll form a new community. We could do this, but it's not worth my time unless you're going to do this. I'm like, well, we don't want people like you. You got a little fucking attitude. But the idea is there. We collectively only buy eggs from Carla.
10 seconds.
We go to Carla's house.
All right.
And buy eggs. You know. We
yes,
support the
and
little
buy
guy.
Eggs. All right. 10 seconds.
Eat your broccoli.
Go on,
I think
cleanse.
Eat your broccoli might have been the last.
Go
you
on
know,
a cleanse.
Message.
Cleanse your body. Get yourself healthy. Stay away from the corporations. Buy local. Support the little guys. Because it's a big fight we got right now. It's against the fucking corporations. I love you guys.
Amen.
Zach, thanks for coming.
We're over time. We got to go. Love you all.
Okay.
Talk to you soon. Ciao, see you next week. Share if you can.
God wins.
Bye. God wins.
Bye-bye. Bye.